ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವದೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವದೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಸಂಸಾರಸಾಗರೇ ಮಗ್ನಂ ದೀನಂ ಮಾಂ ಕರುಣಾನಿಧೇ ಕರ್ಮಂ ಗ್ರಾಹ್ಯ ಗೃಹೀತಾಂಗಂ ಮಾಂ ಉದ್ಧರ ಭವಾರ್ಣವಾಲ್. ಶ್ರೀಮಲ್ಭಾಗವದಾಖ್ಯೋಯಂ ಪ್ರತ್ಯಕ್ಷ ಕೃಷ್ಣಮೇ ವಹಿ ಸ್ವೀಕೃತೋಸಿ ಮಯಾ ನಾಥ ಮುಕ್ತ್ಯರ್ಥಂ ಭವಸಾಗರೇ. ಮನೋರಥೇ ಮದೀಯೋಯಂ ಸಫಲಾ ಸರ್ವದಾ ತ್ವಯ ನಿರ್ವಿಘ್ನೇನೈವ ಕರ್ತವ್ಯಂ ದಾಸೋಹಂ ತವ ಕೇಶವ. ಭವೇ ಭವೇ ಯಥಾ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಪದಯೋಸ್ತವ ಜಾಯದೆ ತಥಾ ಕುರುಷ್ವ ದೇವೇಶ ನಾಥಸ್ತ್ವಂ ನೋ ಯದ ಪ್ರಭೋ. ನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನಂ ಯಸ್ಯ ಸರ್ವಪಾಪ ಪ್ರಣಾಶನಂ ಪ್ರಣಾಮೋ ದುಃಖ ಶಮನಂ ತಂ ನಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಂ ಪರಂ. ಜನ್ಮಾದ್ಯಸ್ಯದೋನ್ವಯಾದಿತರದಸ್ಚಾರ್ತೇಶ್ವಭಿಜ್ಞಸ್ವರಾಳ್ ತೇನೇ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಹೃದಯ ಆದಿಗವಯೇ ಮುಹ್ಯಂದಿಯಲ್ ಸೂರಯಃ. ತೇಜೋವಾರಿಮೃದಂ ಯಥಾ ವಿನಿಮಯೋ ಯತ್ರ ತ್ರಿಸರ್ಗೋ ಮೃಷ ದಾಮ್ನಾ ಸ್ವೇನ ಸದಾ ನಿರಸ್ತಕುಹಕಂ ಸತ್ಯಂ ಪರಂ ಧೀಮಹಿ. ಧರ್ಮ ಪ್ರೋಜ್ಜಿತ ಗೈದವೋತ್ರ ಪರಮೋ ನಿರ್ಮಲ್ಸರಾಣಾಂ ಸದಾಂ ವೇದ್ಯಂ ವಾಸ್ತವಮತ್ರ ವಸ್ತು ಶಿವದಂ ತಾಪತ್ರಯೋನ್ಮೂಲನಂ. ಶ್ರೀಮಲ್ಭಾಗವದೇ ಮಹಾಮುನಿ ಕೃತೆ ಕಿಂವಾಪರೈ ಈಶ್ವರ ಸದ್ಯೋ ಹೃದ್ಯವರುದ್ಯದೇತ್ರ ಕೃತಿಭಿ ಶುಶ್ರೂಷುಭಿ ತಲ್ಕ್ಷಣಾಲ್. ನಿಗಮಗಲ್ಪದರೋರ್ಗಲಿದಂ ಫಲಂ ಶುಕಮುಖಾದಮೃದ್ರವ ಸಂಯುಧಂ ಪಿಬದ ಭಾಗವದಂ ರಸಮಾಲಯಂ ಮುಹುರಹೋ ರಸಿಗಾ ಭುವಿ ಭಾವುಗಾಃ. ಸಚ್ಚಿದಾನಂದರೂಪಾಯ ವಿಶ್ವೋಲ್ಪತ್ಯಾದಿ ಹೇದವೇ ತಾಪತ್ರಯ ವಿನಾಶಾಯ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಯಂ ನುಮಾಂ. ಯಂ ಪ್ರವ್ರಜಂದಂ ಅನುವೇದಮಭೇದಕೃತ್ಯಂ ದ್ವೈಪಾಯನೋ ವಿರಹಕಾದರಮಾಜುಹಾವ ಪುತ್ರೇದಿ ತನ್ಮಯದಯ ತರವೋಭಿನೇದು ತಂ ಸರ್ವಭೂತಹೃದಯಂ ಮುನಿಂ ಆನದೋಸ್ಮಿ. ಯಸ್ವಾನುಭಾವಮಖಿಲ ಶ್ರುತಿಸಾರಮೇಗಂ ಅಧ್ಯಾತ್ಮದೀಪಂ ಅತಿಥಿತೀರ್ಷದಾಂ ತಮೋಂಧಂ ಸಂಸಾರಿಣಾಂ ಕರುಣಯಾಹ ಪುರಾಣಗುಹ್ಯಂ ತಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಸೂನಂ ಉಪಯಾಮಿ ಗುರುಂ ಮುನೀನಾಂ. ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಜೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವಿಂ ಸರಸ್ವತಿಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತತೋ ಜಯಮುದೀರಯೇಲ್. ಕಮನೀಯ ಕಿಶೋರ ಮುಗ್ಧಮೂರ್ತೇ ಕಲವೇಣು ಕುಣಿದಾದೃದಾನನೆಂದೋಹ ಮಮ ವಾಜಿ ವಿಜೃಂಭದಾ ಮುರಾರೇ ಮಧುರೀಂ ಕನಿಕಾಭಿ ಕಾಭಿ ಕಾಭಿ. ನಮಾವೋಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂದಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮದೇ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನ್ ಇತಿ ನಾಮಿನೇ. ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವಿ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೆ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶಧಾರಿಣೆ ಶ್ರೀಮಲ್ ಗುರುಚರಣಾರವಿಂದಾಭ್ಯಾಂ ನಮಃ. ವಂದೇ ನಂದವ್ರಜ ಸ್ತ್ರೀನಾಂ ಪಾದರೇಣುಮಭೀಷ್ಣಶ ಯಾಸಾಂ ಹರಿಗದೋದ್ಗೀತಂ ಪುನಾದಿ ಭುವನತ್ರಯಂ ಗೋಪೀಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಪರಮಾನವೇ ನಮಃ. ಪೀತಾಂಬರಂ ಕರವಿರಾಜಿತಚಕ್ರಶಂಖಂ ಕೌಮೋದಗೀ ಸರಸಿಜಂ ಕರುಣಾಸಮುದ್ರಂ ರಾಧಾಸಹಾಯಂ ಅತಿಸುಂದರ ಮಂದಹಾಸಂ ವಾತಾಲಯೇಶ ಮನಿಶಂ ಹೃದಿ ಭಾವಯಾಮಿ. ಕೋಮಲಂ ಕುಜಯನ್ ವೇಣು ಶ್ಯಾಮಳೋಯಂ ಕುಮಾರಗ ವೇದವೇದ್ಯ ಪರಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಭಾಸದಾಂ ಪುರದೋ ಮಮ. ಮೋಗಂ ಕರೋದಿ ವಾಜಾಲಂ ಪಂಗುಂ ಲಂಘಯದೇ ಗಿರಿಂ ಯಲ್ಕೃವಾ ತಮಹಂ ವಂದೇ ಪರಮಾನಂದ ಮಾಧವಂ. ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ನಮಃ. ಓಂ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಿಕಾಯೈ ನಮಃ. ಸರ್ವತ್ರ ಗೋವಿಂದ ನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನಂ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಗೋವಿಂದ. Last Sunday we were talking about from the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam where Parikshit Maharaj wanted to know from Sukadeva Goswami or Sri Shukla Brahmarshi the story of Vritrasura. Vritrasura's story in the sixth canto we were discussing, and we saw that before Vritrasura was born, how Tvashtav, the father of Visvarupa, performed that great sacrifice in which he offered the oblations to the Supreme Personality of Godhead with intention, with the desire of acquiring a personality to kill Indra. But at the time, while chanting the mantra, Indra Shatro Vivardhasva, because of the mistake in the tone of what has happened while chanting, unfortunately, a personality appeared who was eventually killed by Indra later. So that was the story of the appearance of Vritrasura and how Vritrasura was killed by Indra later on. That is in the and then before that, Narayana Kavacham was instructed to the demigods to fight the demons, and the demigods acquired great strength from the power of the Narayana Kavacham, and they were able to destroy the demoniac population considerably, and they got back the strength of the heavenly planets again. But while this was going on, you will notice there that there was a vacuum in the heavenly planet, and to fulfill that vacuum, that Indra was cursed because of the power of killing Vritrasura, Indra had to was followed by Brahmahatya, the sinful reaction of killing a devotee and a brahmana like Vritrasura. So he was followed by Brahmahatya, and he had to go and take and escape himself from the sinful reaction by taking shelter in the stem of the lotus flower where Sri Lakshmi Devi was situated. That is how Indra took shelter from Brahmahatya. So while he was taking shelter, there was the position of Indra was vacant in the heavenly planets, and the demigods requested Lord Vishnu, and by Vishnu's arrangement, they took Nahusha from the earthly planet to become Indra there. That was the story we talked about, the story of Nahusha there. So Nahusha went to the heavenly planets. He was offered this position as Indra there, and he stayed there for a long time as Indra. But due to his offensive nature, he was cursed by Agastya Muni, and he had to come back here again to this earthly planet. And we find later on in Mahabharata the story of Nahusha appearing again, that Nahusha had to stay as a python in this world for a very long time. Later on, when the Pandavas were performing there, when they were living in the forest for many, many years, at that time, in one occasion, Bhimasena, the younger brother of Maharaja Yudhishthira, he went to the forest, who was caught hold of by the same python. Nahusha was in the form of python. Nahusha caught hold of Bhimasena, and when he was in that situation, Yudhishthira Maharaj went there. When Yudhishthira Maharaj touched the python, he turned his, changed his body, and got back to his original form as Nahusha, the king. So the liberation of Nahusha in the earthly planet later on, from the body of python back to the human form again, happened due to the mercy of Maharaj Yudhishthira. So that is what we find in the Mahabharata while talking about the story of Nahusha. So Nahusha had lived there, offended Agastya Muni, came down back again here, performed great sacrifices in this earthly planet, got the mercy of so many demigods and everybody, acquired tremendous, a lot of pious activities to his credit. The result was he was offered the position of Indra there, and from there offended sage Agastya, sent him back again to this earthly planet, had to take the body of a python. So there is so many things coming from this story, that if one goes to any place, unless one acquires the qualification to be there, that qualification is necessary to stay in that position. Otherwise, sometime or the other, that the old vasanas will come out, all propensities will come out, and bring him back again from that position, back to the material world again, to the earthly planet again. So this is the story that we were briefly discussed last time. And when all these things happened, when Vritrasura was later on killed, when Vritrasura was killed by, when Vritrasura was killed by Indra, at that time we saw there that if Vritrasura suddenly changed his consciousness while he was fighting the battle with Indra, and what happened? What was the cause of this? This change of heart or this change of consciousness in Vritrasura? Parikshit Maharaj was very curious to know. He said, how come this happened to a demon like Vritrasura? That a personality who is Vritrasura, who was in a demonic body, was suddenly changed his consciousness, and he was acting on a platform of a highest devotee. How come such a change could happen in a person? This question was raised by Parikshit Maharaj to Sri Shukan Sukadeva Goswami, and in response to that, Sukadeva Goswami continues that the story behind Vritrasura. That is where the story of Chitrakedu comes in. And in that, through that story of Chitrakedu, Sukadeva Goswami wanted to instruct to the world and wanted to tell the people who are trying to progress on the spiritual path a number of lessons through that. So before we go to that, before we discuss that, I have to read through those verses of which was covered regarding Vritrasura's death, or how Vritrasura was killed by Indra, and all the all the activities associated with that. So we'll just read that chapters, and then we go into Chitrakedu's story. This is the 6th canto, chapter 9. Shri Shuka Uvacham Tasya Asan Vishwarupasya Shira Amsitrini Bharata Soma Bhidam Sura Bhidam Annadam Idishishruma Savai Barkshi Deve Bhyo Bhagavan Pratyakshamuchagai Avadadhyasya Pidaro Deva Saprashrayam Rupa Sa eva hidado bhagam parochamasuran pradi yajamano vahal bhagam adrasneha vashanuga taddeva helanam dasya dharmaligam sureshwara alakshadrasa bhida sachir chanya china drushaha soma bhidam duyatasya sharamasil kabinjalam kalavinga sura bhidam annadam yelsatitiri brahmahatya manjalinam jagraha ravishwara samvalsarande tadagam bhudanam savishuddhaye bhumyam budramayoshadbya chadurtha vipajadhai bhumisturiyam jagraha khadavura varenavai irinam brahmahatya Yam Rupam Pomo Pradeshade, Turiam Cheda Viro Hena Varena, Jagrahurudruma, Tesham, Nidia, Sarubena, Brahmahatya, Pradeshade, Shashwal Kamarena, Hasturiam, Jagrahustria, Rajorubena Dam, Somho, Masimasi, Pradeshade, Drevapuyo Varena, Vasturiam, Jagrahurmalam, Tasu, Putpudane, Pena, Biam, Drashtam, Tadradichivan, Hadavutras, Tadastrusta, Juhavendra, Shatrave, Indra Shatro, Vivartasua, Majiram, Jahividusham, Adhanwa, Hidebatanam, Tito, Koradarshana, Kazandam. Loganam, Uganda Samayeta, Vishagwatamanam, the Mishumatam Dinidini, Dakta Shaila Pradigasham, Sandhya, Brani Gavarchasam, Taptadam, Rashikash, Mashram, Badian, or Kokalojanam, Pedi Pemane, Trashigay, Shulamaro Pero, the Sea, Pratenda, Windam, Damjajale, and Dampadam, him, Dari Gambira Matrain, Pibada, Janabaskalam, Lihada, Joyarchan, Grasada, Puanatrayam, Mahada, Rodram Shaina, Jumpamanam, Hormuhu, Vitrasa, Dutruvur Loga, which is Arvadisho, Disha, Yena, Hurdam. Logatamasat, Vashtamurtina, Savai Vratravi Protam, Pava, Paramadaruna, Tam Nijagura Bidrutia, Sagana, Vivar Shava, Sway, Sway, Divya Shastrogi, So Gressel, Tani Krishna, Tanaste, Vismina, Sarve Vishana, Gressade, Jasa, Pratanya, Divisham of us to Savahidam, Sri Deva Ujum, Vayumberagna Pekshade, Striloga, Ramadeo, Yamudvijanda, Vahama, Yasma, Ibelimandago, So Pivadi, Esma, Deranam, Tadona, Avismidam, Dambariburnagam, Swene, Vela Pena, Saman Pashanda. We know our Sarpatyavaram Hibalisha Shurangulena, Didartisindum, Yes, your Shanga, Jagadim Sonava, Manushira, Manujata, Pajadara Durgam, Sa Eva Nashtad, Nashta, Mastuashtabaya, Durandal, Trada, Shridan, Maria Robinunam, Purasayam, Muramisom Yamava, Sidurnavado, Mire Karale, Egora Vindal, Padidas Tadaram, Dasman, Payadina, Sanos Tubara, Yamegami Shonijamayan, Sasarjayana, Nusayama Visham, Vayam Nayasiami, Purasami, Hada Pashama, Lingam, Padagisha. Yona Sabatne Bishamadiman, Devershadin Mishamatyameva, Katavadana Sanibisumaya, Katwal Masal, Padi Yuge, Yugeja, Tameva Devamayamal, Madevanam, Parampadanam, Burusham, Vishavanyam, Prajama Sarve, Sharanam, Sharanyam, Swanam, Sanota, Sadisham Mahalma, Shri Shuga Uvacha, Ididesham, Maharaja, Suranam, Upadishtadam, Pradesham, Rishabhudami, Shangaja Krakadhadara, Almadulye, Shodashabir, Vinashi, Valsagostovo, Padyavasa Mudram, Sharadam, Buruhekshanam, Drishtuva, Tomano, Sarvamichana Hlada Viklava, Dendaval Padidaraja Chane Rutai Ustavu, Deva Ujo, Namaste Yamiria, I say, Utadinama, Namaste Hestajakraya, Namasubiru, the Yategadinam, the Sram, Ishidam Paramambadam, Narva, Gino Sargasia, Hadawe, Dumarhadim. Om Namaste to Bhagavan, Narayana Vasudeva, Divirusha, Mahavirusha, Mahanubhava, Paramangala, Paramagalyana, Paramakaruniya, Kevala, Jagadatharam, Loga Eganatha, Sarveshwara, Lakshminatha, Paramahamsa, Parivrajagai, Paramenulpa, Paramen, Alpayoga Samadhinam, Paribhavida, Parispada Paramahamsa Dharmenam, Ulkhaditadama, Kapada Dwari, Chitte Bhavrata, Alpayoga, Swayam Upalabdhanija, Sukhanubhavo, Bhavan, Durava Bodhamivadavayam, Vihara Yogo, Yadasharano Sharira, Idamanava Vesh. Shidalmas Amal Shidas Masama ഭാവായം അത്സമമായ ആത്മനൈവ വിക്രയമാണിന സഗുണം അഗുണ സൃജസി പാസി ഹരസി അത തത്ര ഭവാൻ കിം ദേവദത്തവതിഹ ഗുണവിസർഗവതിത പാരതന്ത്രേണ സുഹൃതകുശലാകുശലം ഫലമുപാദദാത്യാം ഹോ സ്തുതാത്മാരാം ഉപശമശീലാം സമഞ്ജസദർശനമുദാസ്തം ഇതിഹ വാവന വിദാമഹ നഹി വിരോധമുഭയം ഭഗവത്യ പരിഗണിത ഗുണഗണേ ഈശ്വരേ അവഗാഹ്യം മഹാത്മാ മഹാത്മേർ വാജി അഹാത്മേർ വ്യാജീന വികൽപ്പ വിതർക്ക വിചാര പ്രമാണാഭാസ കുതർക്ക ശാസ്ത്ര കലിലാന്ത കരണാശ്രയ ദുരവഗ്രഹവാദിനാം വിവാദാനവസരം ഉപരത സമസ്തമായാമയേ കേവലം ഏവാത്മമായാം ഏവാത്മമായാം അന്തർധായ കോന്മർത്ഥോ ദുർഘട ഇവ ഭവതി സ്വരൂപദ്വയാഭാവാൽ സമവിഷമവദീനാം മതം അനുസരസി യഥാ രജ്ജുഘണ്ഡ സർപ്പാതിഥിയാം സ ഏവ ഹിമന സർവവസ്തുനി വസ്തുസ്വരൂപ സർവേശ്വര സകല ജഗൽകാരണ കാരണഭൂത സർവ പ്രത്യഗാത്മത്വാൽ സർവഗുണാഭാസോപലക്ഷിത ഏകമേവ പര്യവശേഷിത അഥവാവതവ മഹിമാതരം മഹിമാമൃതരസ സമുദ്ര വിപ്രുഷാ സകൃതവലീഠയാ സ്വമനസി നിഷ്യന്തമാന അവരത സുഖേന വിസ്മാരിത ദൃഷ്ടശ്രുത വിഷയ സുഖലേശാഭാസ പരമഭാഗവതാം ഏകാന്തിനോ ഭഗവതി സർവഭൂതപ്രിയ സുഹൃതി സർവാത്മനി നിതരാം നിരന്തരം നിർവൃത മനസ കഥമുഖവ ഏതേ മധുമദന പുനഃസ്വാർത്ഥകുശല ആത്മപ്രിയ സുഹൃത സാധവാസ്തുചരണാംബുജാനുസേവാം വിസൃജന്തി നയത്ര പുനരയം സംസാര പരിവർത്ത ത്രിഭുവനാത്മഭവന ത്രിവിക്രമ ത്രിനയന ത്രിലോക മനോഹരാനുഭവ തദൈവ വിഭൂതയോ ദിതിജദനുജാദയശ്ചാപി തേഷാം അനുവക്രമ അനുവക്രമ സമയോയമിതി സ്വാത്മമായ സുരനരമകം ഋഷിത ജലജരാകൃതി വിരപരാധം വിര്യധാപരാധം ദണ്ഡം ദണ്ഡരഥദർത്ഥം ഏവമേനമവി ഭഗവൻ ജഹി ത്വാഷ്ടമുദ യതി മന്യസേ അസ്മാകം ത്വാവകാനാം തവ നതനാം നതാനാം തദ തദാ മഹത്തവ ചരണ ചരണനളിന യുഗളധ്യാനാനുബന്ധ ഹൃദയ നിഗന്ധാനാം സ്വലിംഗ വിവരണേന ആത്മസാൽ അനുരഞ്ജിത വിശദരുചിര ശിശിര സ്മിതാവലോകേന വികലിത മധുരമുഖ രസാമൃതകലയാചാന്ത സ്ഥാപമന മനഃഃർഹസി ശമയിതം അഥ ഭഗവംസ്തവാസ്മാഭിരഖില ജഗതുൽപത്തി സ്ഥിതിലയ നിമിത്തായ മാനം ദിവ്യമായ വിനോദസ്യ സകല ജീവനികായാനാം അന്തർഹൃദയേഷു ബഹിരഭിജ ബ്രഹ്മ പ്രത്യാഗാത്മസ്വരൂപേണ പ്രധാന രൂപേണ ജയഥാദേശ കാലദേഹാവസ്ഥാന വിശേഷം തദുപദാനോപലം ഭക്തയാനുഭവത സർവപ്രത്യയ സാക്ഷിണ ആകാശ ശരീരസ്യ സാക്ഷാൽ പരബ്രഹ്മണ പരമാത്മന കിയാനിഹവ അർത്ഥവിശേഷോ വിജ്ഞാപനീയസ്യാൽ വിസ്ഫുല്ലിംഗാദിഭിജ്വ ഹിരണ്യരേതസ അത ഏവ സ്വയം തൊതുവകൽപ്പയാസ്മാകം ഭഗവത പരമഗുരോത്സവ ചരണ ശതപലാശഛായാം വിവിധ വൃജിന സംസാര പരിശ്രമോപശമനീയം ഉപസ്രദാനം വയം യൽക്കാം മേനോപസാദിതാ അഥോമീശജഹിത്വാഷ്ടം ഗ്രസന്തം ഭുവനത്രയം ഗ്രസ്ഥാനി ഏന കൃഷ്ണ തേജാം സ്യസ്ത്രായുധാനിജാം ഹംസായ നഖനലയായ നിരീക്ഷകായ കൃഷ്ണായ മൃഷ്ടയശസേ നിരുപക്രമായ സൽസംഗ്രഹമായ സംസംഗ്രഹായ ഭവപാന്ത നിജാശ്രമാപ്ത വന്ദേ പരീഷ്ണഗതയേ ഹരേ നമസ്തേ ശ്രീശുഗവാചാം അതൈവ മേരുദോരാജൻ സാദരം തദ്ദേർഹരി സ്വമുപസ്ഥാനമാകർണ്യം പ്രഹത്താൻ അഭിനന്ദിത ശ്രീഭഗവാനുവാചാം പ്രീതോഹം വസുരശ്രേഷ്ഠ മധുപസ്ഥാന വിദ്യ ആത്മൈശ്വര്യ സ്മൃതി പുംസാം ഭക്തിശ്ചൈവ യയാമയി കിം ദുരാവം മയി പ്രീതേ തഥാപി വിഭുദർഷഭ മയ്യേകാന്തമനിർമതിർനാന്യം മന്മത്തോ അഞ്ചതി തത്വവിൽ നവേതകൃപണശ്രയം ആത്മനോ ഗുണമസ്തു തസ്യ ദാനിച്ഛതോ യച്ചേന്ദ്രി സ്വപി തഥാവിദൻ സ്വയം നിശ്രേയസയം വിദ്വാൻ നമത്യജ്ഞായ കർമ്മഹീനരാദി രോഗിണോ വർത്യം വാഞ്ചതോ ഹി ഭിഷക്തമാം മഹവന്യാദഭദ്രമോ ശ്രേഷ്ഠോ വിശ്വകർമ്മ വിനിർമിതാഃ യേന വൃത്രശിരോ ഹർത്താമ തേജം ഉപബ്രംഹിത തസ്മിൻ വിനിഹതേ യൂയ തേജോസ്ത്രായുധ സമ്പദ ഭൂയ പ്രാംസ്യത ഭദ്രമോ മഹിം സന്ധിതമരാത്മൽപരാൻ ഇതി ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണേ പരമഹംസ്യാം സംഹിതായാം ഷഷ്ഠസ്കന്ധേ നാമോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ശ്രീശുഗവാചാം ഇന്ദ്രമേവം സമാദിശ്യ ഭഗവാൻ വിശ്വഭാവന പശ്യതാമനിമേഷാണാം തത്രൈവ അന്തർധതേ ഹരി തഥാപ്യാചിതോ ദേവേ ഖുശിരാധർവണോ മഹാൻ മോദമാനോവാചേതം പ്രഹസന്നിവ ഭാരത അഭിവന്ദാരകായൂയം ന ജാനീത ശരീരിണാം സംസ്ഥായമസ്തു വിദ്രോഹോ ദുസഹശ്ചേതനാവഹ ജിജിവീഷുണാം ജീവാനാം ആത്മാ പ്രേഷ്ടഭിഹേപ്സിത കമുൽസഹേതം ദാതും ഭിക്ഷമാണായ വിഷ്ണവേ ശ്രീദേവ ഊചും കിം തദ്ദുസ്ഥിതം ബ്രഹ്മൻ പുംസാം ഭൂതാനുകമ്പിനാം ഭവദ്ദിദാനാം മഹനം പുണ്യശ്ലോകേഭ്യകർമ്മണാം മനുസ്വാർത്ഥപരോ ലോ ஜனோவோ ந வேத பரசங்கடம் எதி வேதனையா செய்த நிதியாக எதீஸ்வரா கிருஷிருவாஜாம் தர்மம் அஸ்ரோதுகாமேன யூயமே பிரத்யுதாஹிருதாஹ ஏஷவ பிரேமாத்மானம் தியஜந்தம் சந்தியஜாம்யஹம் யோ த்ருவேனாத்மநாநாத ந தர்மம் நைஷ புமான் இஹேத பூததேயா சசோச்சே ஸ்தாவரைரபி ஏதாவானபி யோ தர்ம புண்ணிஷோகைருவாசினா யோ பூதசோகர்ஷாபியாம் ஆத்மா சோஜதி கிருஷ்யதி அஹோ தைனிம் அஹோ கஷ்டம் பாரக்கியை க்ஷணபங்குரை என்னோப உரியாத ஸ்வார்த்தேர்மத்தே சஜ்ஞாதி விக்ரஹை ஸ்ரீஷுகவாஜாம் ஏவம் கிருத விவசிதோ தத்யங்கா தர்மணஸ்தனம் பரே பகவதி பிரம்மண்யாத்மானம் சந்தயஞ்சஹோ யதாட்சாசு மனோபுத்தி தத்துவ யதாட்சாசு மனோபுத்தி தத்துவ திருத்வஸ்த பந்தனா அஸ்தித பரமம் யோகம் நதேஹம் புபுதே கதம் அதேந்திரோ வஜ்ரமுத்யம்ய நிர்மிதம் நிஷகர்மணா முனே சுக்தி விரல் சிக்தோ பகவத் தேஜசான்விதா மிருத்ரோ தேவகணை சர்வை கஜேந்திரோ பரியசோபிதா ஸ்தூயமானோ முனிகணை ஸ்த்ரைலோக்கியம் ஹஷயமிவ வத்தமபியத்தவச்சே துமசுராணி கயூதவை பரியஸ்தமோஜசா ராஜன் க்ருத்ரோ ருத்ரமிவாந்தகம் ததசுராணாமசுரைரண பரமதாருண த்ரைதாமுகே நர்மதாயாம் அபவல் பிரதமே யுகே ருத்ரைர்வசுபிராதித்தே அஸ்வுபியாம் பிதுர்வன்னிபிஹி மருத்பிருபிசோத்தே விஸ்வதேவேர் மருள்பதிம் திருஷ்ட்வா வஜ்ரதரம் சக்ரம் ரோஜமானம் ஸ்வயாஸ்ரயா நாம்ருஷ்யன் நசுராராஜ மகாபுராணே பரமஹம்சியம் சமிதாயம் ஷஷ்டஸ்கந்தே இந்திரவ்ரத்ராசுரை தவர்ணனம் நாம தசமோத்யாய சர்வத்ர கோவிந்த நாம சங்கீர்த்தனம் கோவிந்த கோவிந்த ஸ்ரீ சுகவாஜம் த ஏவம் சம்சதோ தர்மம் ஜபத்திரச்சே பத்திரஜேதச நைவ ஆக்ரஷன் பயத்ரஸ்தா பலாயன பரானுபா விசீரியமானா பிரதனாம் ஆசுரீம சுரேஷவா காலானுகூலே ஸ்ததிஷை காலியமானா மனாதவல் திருஷ்ட்வா தப்பத சம்கிருந்தம் இந்த சத்ருமாஷிதா தான் நிவாரிய ஔஜசாராஜன் நிர்பல்சேதம் உவாச்சா உவாபஹாம் மகாமேசமஸ்தோரிபோர்யோமிருஹாஜா திருஷ்டியானோத்யாஹமசத்தமத்வயா அசூரநர்பிணதிருஷத்ருதாஜிரால் யோ நக்ரஜஸ்யாத்மவிதோ திஜாதிர்குரோரபாபஸ்ய ஜதீக்ஷிதஸ்ய விஷ்ரவ்யக்கேன சரீராம்சி வஷுல் பசூரிவா கருணஸ்வர்ககாமாம் ഹ്രീ ശ്രീദയാ കീർത്തിവിരഞ്ജിതം ത്വാം സ്വകർമ്മണ പുരുഷാദേശഗർഹ്യം കൃച്ഛ്രേണ മച്ചൂല വിഭിന്നദേഹം അസ്പൃഷ്ടമന്യം സമതന്ത്രികൃത്രാഹം അന്യേനു ഏത്വേഹനശം സമജ്ഞയ നാന്യേനു ഏത്വേഹനശം സമജ്ഞ ഏ ഹ്യുദിദാസ്ത്രാപ്രഹരം നിമഹ്യം തൈർഭൂതനാഥാൻ സകനാന്ത് നിഷാദ തൃശൂല നിർഭിന്നകലേർ അജാമി അഥോ ഹരേ മേ കുലിശേന വീരാ ഹർത്താ പ്രമദ്ധേവ ശിരോയദീഹ തത്രാമൃണോ ഭൂതവലിം വിധായ മനസ്സിനും പാദരജം പ്രബൽസ്യേ സുരേഷ കസ്മാൻ മഹിമോ ശിവജ്രം പുരസ്ഥിതേ വരിണിമയ്യമോഹം വാ സംശയിഷ്ടാനഗദേവവജ്രം സ്യാം നിഷ്ഫലം കൃപണാർത്ഥേ കൃപണാർത്ഥേവ യാജ്ഞാം നന്വേഷവജ്രസമശക്രതേജസ ഹരേർദ്ദീജേസ്തമസാജതേജിത തേനൈവ ശത്രു ഹി വിഷ്ണു ശത്രു ജഹി വിഷ്ണു യന്ത്രിതോ യദോ ഹരേർവിജയ ശ്രീർഗുണാസ്തദാ അഹം സമാധായ മനോ യഥാ സംഘർഷണസ്തച്ചരണാരവിന്ദേ ത്വദ്വജ്രരംഹോലിതഗ്രാമ്യവാശോഗതിം മുനോർയാമ്യപവിദ്ധലോകാഃ പുംസാം കിലേകാന്തരിയാം സുഖാനാം യാ സമ്പദോ ബുദ്ധിവിമോരസായാം നരാദിയദ്വേഷം ഉദ്വേഗ ആദിർമദക്കലവ്യസനം സംപ്രയാസാം ത്രൈവർഗികായാസ വിഘാതമസ്മൽപതിർവിദത്തേ പുരുഷസ്യ ശക്രാം തദോനുമേയോ ഭഗവൽപ്രസാദം യോ ദുർലഭോ കിഞ്ചന ഗോചരോന്യൈ അഹം ഹരേ തവ പാദൈകമൂലം ദാസാനുദാസോ ഭവിദാസ്മി ഭൂയ മനസ്മരേ ദാസുപദേർ ഗുണാംസ്തേ കൃണീത കർമ്മകരോതുകായ നാഗപൃഷ്ടം നജപാരമേഷ്ട്യം നസാർവഭൗമം നരസാധിപത്യം ന യോഗസിദ്ധീരപുനർഭവം വ സമഞ്ജസത്വാഗ്രഹയകാംക്ഷേ അജാതപക്ഷോമി മാതരം ഖഗ സ്തന്യം യഥാ വത്സതരാ ക്ഷുധാർത്ഥ പ്രിയം പ്രിയേവാ വിഷദം വിഷണ്ണ മനോരമിന്ദാക്ഷതദൃക്ഷേ ത്വാം മമോത്തമശ്ലേഖുജനേഷു സഖ്യം സംസാരചക്രേ ഭ്രമദ സ്വകർമ്മഭി ത്വന്മായയാത്മാത്മജദാരഗേഹം ആസക്തചിത്തസ്യ നനാഥ ഭൂയാൽ ഇതി ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണേ പരമഹംസ്യാം സംഹിതായാം ഷഷ്ടസ്കന്ദേ വൃത്രസ്യ ഇന്ദ്രോപദേശോ നാമ ഏകോദശോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ സോ ദോസ് ത്രീ ചാപ്റ്റേഴ്സ് ടോക്ക്ഡ് അബൌട്ട് ദി Vritrasura's death and the few words Vritrasura spoke at the time while leaving his body. Aham hare tava padega moolam dasanu daso bhavidasmi bhuya manasmare pamsupade gunaste gnidava karma karodukayam na nagavrishtam na ja parameshtam na sarvabhavam narasadivatyam na yogasiddhiravanarbhavam va samanjasatva virahayagankshe അജാതപക്ഷം ഇവ മാധരം ഖഗ സ്തന്യം യഥാ വത്സതരാ ക്ഷുധാർത്ഥ പ്രിയം പ്രിയേവാ വിഷദം വിഷണ്ണ മനോരവിന്ദാക്ഷതദക്ഷതേ ത്വം സോ വൃത്രാസുരസ് കോൺഷ്യസ്നെസ് വാസ് സച്ച് ദാറ്റ് അറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് ടൈം വൃത്രാസുരസ് ഡിസയർ വാസ് ടു ഗോ ബാക്ക് ടു ദിസ് ഗോ ബാക്ക് ടു ദി ഗോ ബാക്ക് ടു കൃഷ്ണ ബിക്കോസ് ബൈ നൗ ഹി വാസ് ഫീലിംഗ് ദാറ്റ് സെപ്പറേഷൻ സോ സ്ട്രോങ്ലി ഫ്രം കൃഷ്ണ ആൻഡ് ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് വാട്ട് ഹി എക്സ്പ്രസ്ഡ് ഇൻ ഹിസ് ലാസ്റ്റ് വേർഡ്സ് വിച്ച് ഹി സ്പോക്ക് ടു ഇന്ദ്ര And Indra, seeing this change of face, change of consciousness in Vritrasura, Indra got a little bit disturbed. Why he got disturbed? Because Indra started realizing, this is not an ordinary personality whom I am dealing with. Although when inspired by the other demigods and also instructed by the other sages, Indra went and got his weapon of this thunderbolt, which was manufactured by the backbone taken from Dadiji Maharshi's back. That which was perfected by due to the chanting of Narayana Kavacham by Dadiji Maharshi, that all his material body has even changed to such a degree that Indra was able to get hold of that backbone of Dadiji Maharshi, who handed over that to Indra for just to satisfy Indra's desire. Indra took that and manufactured his thunderbolt with that, and Krishna gave the instructions to Indra that with that thunderbolt he will be able to destroy the enemy, namely Vritrasura. So Indra knew that with the help of that thunderbolt, he'll be able to kill Vritrasura, and which he did. But after doing that, he realized the mistake he has committed. So by now, it was too late that Vritrasura has left his body and he has gone. So in that situation, Parikshit Maharaj has noticed that how could such a change happen in a person, one who has got a demoniac body, born in the rays of the demons. And not only born in the rays of the demons, Vritrasura was totally involved in killing the demigods, including Indra. And he was challenging them at one moment, but in the very next moment, Vritrasura's consciousness had changed to such a degree that his original vasanas or original propensity started manifesting. Vritrasura was a devotee. A devotee's body, in that devotee's body, he had committed offenses. The result of offense was he had to accept a demonic body. But due to the devotional activities what he performed in the devotee's body, those vasanas or propensities which were present in his body came and rescued him and gave him till and allowed that when the demonic propensities died out, automatically he went back to the devotee's consciousness again and went back to the spiritual world. So it is that story of Chitraketu, who was Vritarasura in his previous life. Parikshit Maharaj wanted to hear that, and in response to that, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, from this chapter onwards now, for another 4 or 5 chapters, it talks about the story of Chitraketu. King Chitraketu was a powerful king in Shurasena, in the land known as Shurasena. Chitraketu, and he had his name of the queen was Kritadyuti. Kritadyuti and Chitraketu ruled from the in Shurasena, and very powerful king, but and had all the opulences of that time, what they had. And Chitraketu's rule was such that people were satisfied with the king. But Chitraketu had only one lamentation. The fact was that he had no children. And this was actually disturbing Chitraketu's mind very much. In the modern world, people may say, why this is such a big concern, that if you have no children, why should be such a worry about it? But the fact is that these days, when we are talking about Chitraketu's time in Shurasena, and also many of the stories in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when you read, you'll find there these stories have happened in the time when people had absolute faith in the Vedic literature. That means the Vedic literature talks about the householder life and the household purpose of the householder life. Prajayai grahamedhinam. It is only for the purpose of increasing the progeny or having children. Marriage and the relationships are allowed. Otherwise it is not allowed to have that relationship. Prajayai grahamedhinam. In the Vedic instruction is like that. So in that situation, it was understood that when a person dies, he leaves his body, automatically it is the duty of the son to perform the udagakriya or the shraddha ceremony for the parents to relieve him from an eventual possibility of falling down into the lower planetary systems. And that protection, when you discuss about in the third canto, we were talking about it, that the life after death, what happens to the spirit soul when it is transmigrating from one body to another, the phases it has to go through. And because people had such absolute faith in the injunction of the Shastra, and they have accepted the Shastra completely, that they were able to accept that the duty of the son to perform the udagakriya or ceremonies, what is meant to be done for the soul which has departed from its body, and therefore it is the duty of the son to perform that, and therefore every householder will desire to have a son for this reason. And this is why all through Srimad Bhagavatam you will find there again and again this being mentioned. But it is because of this reason that Chitraketu was lamenting that he had no one to perform his udagakriya or the ceremonies meant to be done after his leaving the body. That's one. Secondly, as a Kshatriya king, Chitraketu also was aware that he had to hand over the kingdom to somebody else to complete the management of the administration of the kingdom. And that's only possible if there was someone who followed the instructions of the father, who could be trained up by the father in the process of administration. And this was the whole purpose of the king trained up. Like you see in the Mahabharata also you'll find Yudhishthira Maharaj trained up Parikshit and trained him up nicely, that when Yudhishthira Maharaj went on Mahaprasthanam, went to the Himalayas to give up his body, he made sure that Parikshit has been trained properly and took control of the administration. So this was the Vedic tradition, that the kings ruled, and they continued the tradition through their children. So when this was happening, Kritadyuti had no children. Chitraketu was very much affected by that. So because they had no children, Chitraketu decided to get married again. And he married quite a few times, but didn't have any progeny from any of the wives. So Chitraketu was very much disheartened by the whole situation. And not knowing what to do, in a very depressed mood, when he was continuing his administration, one day by chance, Angiras Muni came to the palace. Angiras is one of the powerful sages you come across in the Srimad Bhagavatam, among many others, Srinarada Muni, Angiras, Vedavyasa Maharshi. They are all the great sages in the Vedic tradition. So our Angiras Muni by chance walked into the palace. Knowing very well what was Chitraketu's state of mind was, still he asked Chitraketu, what is that actually disturbing him so much? Chitraketu said to Angiras Muni, then actually what is the use of having a kingdom, and what's the use of having a good people to be ruled over? And in addition to that, all the opulences are there in the kingdom, but only account of one and one own reason alone that I'm unhappy in my life. The fact is that I have no issues afterwards. To whom should I hand over this kingdom, and who will perform my, execute my Udagakriya, or the ceremonies after my death? When these things were spoken, Angiras Maharshi wanted to find out what is the background of Chitrakedu's this present crisis. Being a sage, what is known as, they have this jnanadrishti. Jnanadrishti means that those who can see things what the material eyes cannot see. So material eyes, we can only see certain things. We don't know the background of a person. The living entity, the spirit soul, has gone through so many different bodies. And sometimes it is in the body of a brahmana, sometimes in the body of a shudra, sometimes in the form of a king, sometimes a pauper. So all these different positions in the material world is taken by the living entity. It is just changing the dress. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita also, vasam sijirna iyatho vihaya navani grihnadi naroparani tatha sharirani vihaya jirna ninyadi samyadi navani dehi. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that a living entity is changing his clothes constantly. And eventually, sometimes he goes up, sometimes he urdvam gacchandi sattvastha. Sometimes he goes up in the mode of goodness, he gets a higher body. Madhi etashtandi rajasa. Sometimes when the modes of nature are mixed up, he accepts a body in the middle planetary system. Jaganya gunavrittisto adho gacchandi tamasaha. When the lower modes of nature infects him, automatically he goes into the lower planetary systems as well. So this is the cycle goes through the living, the spirit soul is moving through body, one body to another, one planet to another. Throughout the universe it is moving up and down continuously. And that is the Vedic understanding of the transfer or the transmigration of the soul within the universe. So here you will notice there one interesting thing is that when when Chitrakedu's situation, Angiras Muni looked at him, Angiras Muni with his jnana drishti or the vision or spiritual vision, he was able to see his karma, the record of his karma or his prarabdham or what was actually causing this. When he saw through this, he was able to tell the king very openly that unfortunately, he told Chitrakedu that your record of history or record of karma is telling me that you have no opportunity to have children. This is an unfortunate truth. He had to say this to him. And not only in this life, for quite some time, there is no possibility of having children. He said this to Chitrakedu. Chitrakedu, when he heard this from Angiras Muni, Angiras Maharshi told him this. Chitrakedu said to him that he would not give up. Chitrakedu was not a person who will easily give up. He said to Angiras Muni, knowing very well Angiras Muni's position, he said to Angiras Muni that if you want, you can change my karma also. This is what Chitrakedu told Angiras Muni. Angiras Muni was able to understand Chitrakedu's state of mind. He understood that this king is not going to easily accept my comments on this. Although he tried to explain the karma, the effect of karma on his life, and why that prarabdha karma that has followed him, although to become a king, but had no good fortune of having children. So Chitrakedu started lamenting and started insisting on Angiras Muni that somehow or the other he should offer him, he should make some arrangement for him to have a child. When Chitrakedu heard all these things, Chitrakedu started insisting like this, Angiras Muni kept on telling him that what is this so special about having children, he said to him. And Chitrakedu's normal usual complaint was about this, but Angiras spoke to him that what is normally happens is that sometimes when we don't have children, we think that, oh, what a horrible life this is, that even after getting married and having without children, that married life is not complete itself. The happiness in the married life is that children. But if that's not happened, what is the point in having this married life? And all these kinds of lamentation came from Chitrakedu. Chitrakedu's mind was completely focused on his future of this kingdom, and as well as his time after death. So he kept arguing from that point, and Angiras Muni tried to convince him that even if you have a child, there is no guarantee that you are going to be happy in life, because that is how it is. Even if sometimes when you have children, there is no guarantee that it is going to be all happy from then on. Then it is a liability, burden happens in a different way. When we try to keep adjusting everything to become somehow some happiness and peace in life, that's what every householder tries to do in this world. So exactly the same way, Angiras Muni tried to tell Chitrakedu, if nothing is permanent in this world, neither your kingdom nor the householder life, nothing is permanent here. Rather, you should take to the path of process of Krishna consciousness. This is what Chitragedu told, Angiras told Chitragedu. But Angiras could see that nothing will go to his head at that time. He was all interested at that moment is that he should have a son at somehow. So when Angiras Muni realized that there was no point in talking about this to Chitragedu anymore, Angiras Muni decided that if that is how you feel about it, that I will perform a putragameshti, a sacrifice meant for having progeny, for children. So with that intention, like in Ramayana, also you see the same story. Putragameshti was performed by Dasharatha Maharaj for the sake of Dasharatha Maharaj, by Vasishtha and all the Shishringa and others. And from putragameshti, the havis or the payasam which came out from that as the offering, the prasadam, was handed over to the queens, and they took it, and Ramchandra, Lakshmana, Bharata and Shatrughna were appeared from them. So in the same way, putragameshti sacrifice you will find throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find putragameshti being performed by different kings at different times. And similarly, Chitragedu also performed putragameshti. And from exactly like the way it happened in Ramayanam, you notice there also that from the fire, the havis was brought out, and the havis was handed over by Angiras Muni to, Angiras Muni performed the sacrifice on behalf of Chitragedu. Chitragedu made all the arrangements, and Chitragedu, when he got the prasadam or the havis from there, Angiras Muni instructed him to give that to one of his wives. Naturally, Kritajudi was his first choice, because Kritajudi was the first wife. So Chitragedu handed over the havis to her, to take it. Kritajudi took it, and as expected, in due course, Kritajudi became pregnant. When Kritajudi became pregnant, that was enough for Chitragedu. Even the baby was not born. Even before that, Chitragedu started the celebration. That is how he was focused on his desire of having children. Of course, all these things when we talk about, it may look strange in the modern world. Is these things all, he said, looks very strange to us, because in the modern society, these are not the priorities. Priorities are something different. So because the priorities are different, the family life, household life, and grihastha ashram and all takes a back seat. So because of this, all these things becomes less significant for us. But from the Vedic point of view, these are the priorities, not the things what we consider today as the priorities. That is the time difference, the time gap between us and them. So anyway, from the Vedic point of view, Chitragedu was very, very pleased that his wife is going to have a baby. Kritajudi, in course of time, delivered a child. And the child was so beautiful that when everyone saw the child, not only Chitragedu and Kritajudi, the whole palace was in happiness, extreme happiness. Seeing the king's state of mind, automatically the subjects also, the people who lived in the kingdom also became extremely ecstatic by seeing the situation. The whole kingdom was in happiness, and that carried on for quite some time. But in a few months' time, what has happened was, before this baby was born, Angiras Muni warned Chitragedu that your desire will be fulfilled by this putragameshti, but the very child can become a cause of distress also for you later on. Chitragedu won't agree. Chitragedu said, doesn't matter, that comes afterwards, isn't it? Let me have the happiness first, we'll see the distress later. Like us, not much different than us. All the materialistic consciousness, people in materialistic consciousness, always think like that. Let me enjoy today, tomorrow we'll see. People are telling after death this will happen, that. Have you seen that? Have you gone there? Have you experienced anything? Let us enjoy it today here where we are here. This is our calculations. Chitragedu and also was not much different. Chitragedu's calculations are also in the same way. He said that let me have it today, but tomorrow what will happen we'll see then when gets to that. So Chitragedu answered like this, and anyhow Angiras Maharshi, knowing well that this king is not going to change his mind unless he gets a proper experience in this life, this child was born. So the child was growing up, and at the same time in the palace there was problems because this Kritajudi had the baby. The king started spending most of the time with Kritajudi and the baby. The result was that the other queens whom he has married, they had no opportunity to associate with the king, and king was distancing himself to some degree from them, and that was causing a lot of unhappiness among the other queens. So naturally, the other queens discussed this matter of the frame of mind of the king, and they started talking to each other. And the result was that they started feeling the cause of all this is that Kritajudi had a baby. If we all had children from the king, naturally the king would have shown same affection to us as well. But now that king is so attached to the baby, attached to Kritajudi, he had no time for us. So this conclusion they came to, and automatically their mind went in the wrong direction. The queen started thinking that the only option is to have either children of our own, which is not going to happen now in the present circumstances. But rather, if we can get rid of that child somehow or the other, the king will probably come back to his original nature or original relationship with us. It is always easy to destroy something, but it's very difficult to create something. That is the nature in this material world is always like that. We can always see that every time when we try to bring goodness into the society or we want to develop Krishna consciousness, it is so difficult. But when you try to talk about destroying something or destroying the whole civilization, it doesn't take much time. It is so easy for us because we've got all the technology for it. We've got all the mentality also for that. So all you have to do is to combine these two things. In a short time, we can finish up the job. That's why the difference between the activities of creation and destruction varies. The destruction is a simple thing, but creation is much more difficult. So because of this, the other queen decided to took this option of killing the child. And somehow or the other, when they decided that, they decided to influence the nurse who was looking after the baby, and they influenced her mind and decided to poison the child. So at one point they decided to poison the child, and they told the nurse to mix poison in the food offered to the baby. So one day, the king and the queen, both Kritadvija and Chitrayudha, were very attached to the baby. They were every moment watching the growth of the baby to grow up as a prince, and later on Chitrayudha wanted him to take care of the kingdom. But in that situation, one day the nurse, somehow they fell as victimized by the influence of this other queen. She poisoned the baby. And the baby, after being fed, baby was taken inside. Baby was felt like, because the poison's gone inside, was feeling unconscious almost. The mother Kritadvija thought that probably the baby has fallen asleep after taking the food. So Kritadvija told the nurse to take the baby inside and allow him to rest. So the nurse took him inside and left the baby to rest. After a couple of hours, when they tried to wake up the baby could not be woken up. So the nurse was showing that she was very perturbed, what has happened. She came back and told Kritadvija that the baby is not waking up. Kritadvija was already shaking. She went in along with the nurse and tried to take the child and started waking him up, but he won't wake up. How can he wake up? He's already poisonous gone inside and it has killed him. So the baby was killed. Kritadvija was immediately fell unconscious. And when this happened to Kritadvija, naturally you can imagine what the state of mind of Chitrakedu was. When this whole issue was spoken between Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj asked Sukadeva Goswami one question. Parikshit Vajam, Muktanam Abhisiddhanam Narayana Parayana Sudurlabha Prashandalma Kodishwabhi Mahamuni. Srimad Bhagavatam says there, Muktanam Abhisiddhanam Narayana Parayana Sudurlabha Prashandalma Kodishwabhi Mahamuni. It's a very famous verse in the Bhagavatam. Referring to Vritrasura, Parikshit Maharaj was asking Sukadeva Goswami that I have heard about many, many people who have served Krishna, who have glorified Krishna. They were liberated personalities. They were surrendered to Krishna. Narayana Parayana Muktanam. They were liberated souls. Abhisiddhanam. They have also perfected their spiritual life. Narayana Parayana. They have surrendered to Krishna to such a degree that they have taken complete shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sudurlabha Prashandalma. And even in spite of taking that position, even when they are put into difficult situations like Vritrasura had to go through, Chitrakedu had to go through, how come that such rare souls, Sudurlabha, they are so rare, Prashandalma, that they are always satisfied and peaceful. Kodishwabhi Mahamuni. That asking Sukadeva Goswami, Mahamuni, addressing Sukadeva Goswami as Mahamuni, Parikshit Maharaj asked this question, that how are they able to sustain that consciousness even when they are put into this demonic body? How come their original nature of devotee is coming out so strongly? So this question was asked by Parikshit Maharaj to Sukadeva Goswami, Muktanam Abhisiddhanam Narayana Parayana Sudurlabha Prashandalma Kodishwabhi Mahamuni. That Parikshit Maharaj's doubt was coming up very strongly. And in response to that, when this Chitrakedu story was spoken by Sukadeva Goswami, the baby was killed. Chitrakedu came to the scene. Chitrakedu was completely finished. He had lost all his strength in himself. And he got so depressed in his life, tried everything he could to get the baby back to life. But he realized that the baby was dead. Now what to do? Chitrakedu was so upset that he stopped all his duties as the king, and the ministers had to manage everything. Chitrayedu was completely in distressed condition, and Kritajudhi as well, and that the ministers had to manage with the administration of the kingdom. When this was going on, one of those days, the same Angiras Muni walked in again. But this time, when Angiras Muni came in, he was accompanied by Sri Narada Muni as well. Narada Muni and Angiras Muni, they came together to see Chitrakedu. So when they came in, Chitrakedu could not even recognize Narada Muni, Angiras Maharshi, although he has met him before and performed all the sacrifice and everything. Because of his distress inside of the baby's death, then Chitrakedu was feeling so distressed that he could not even recognize, in the Srimad Bhagavatam it says, he could not recognize Angiras Muni. Angiras Muni had to wake him up and tell him, "My dear king, if you are so distressed like this, what is it that you are crying about, that you have to act like this in this way?" Then Chitrakedu suddenly woke up and started looking. Angiras Muni told him, "I am the same Angiras Muni who came to you and performed the sacrifice for having this baby. And now you are so disturbed. I told you at that time that the same baby will be the cause of your distress as well." When he said that, Chitrakedu kept quiet. Chitrakedu wouldn't agree. Chitrakedu says, "Why did this happen?" Although everything was explained to him from the beginning by Angiras Muni, Chitrakedu could not accept that what has happened was something due to a higher laws of nature that was not known to him. So Angiras Muni said to Chitrakedu, "Do you recognize me? I am Angiras. This is Sri Narada Muni, son of Lord Brahma. Brahma's son, Brahmaputra, it says there. Brahma's son Narada Muni is this." Angiras, Chitrakedu paid his respects to both the sages, but he was still lamenting about this death. So Angiras Muni and Sri Narada Muni discussed each other about it. And then they decided that we have to make this king somehow come to his senses. They made the decision. So when they made the decision, Sri Narada Muni realized Chitrakedu is not going to be satisfied with any answer. That's like that sometimes in spiritual life also. Sometimes, no matter when somebody is very distressed or in a very disturbed condition of mind, no matter how much you tell them about Krishna consciousness and to come out of this Maya's influence of the material world and to take to the shelter of Krishna, still sometimes people find it very, very hard to accept that. Why? Because the three modes of nature is so powerful that they will won't allow you to come to see the reality behind all these things, behind the illusory energy, behind the illusion or the illusory potency of this world. So Maya's, that is how powerful Maya is. That same thing in Chitrakedu also. But Angiras Muni and Sri Narada Muni, they were both very compassionate to the king. They decided, and they eventually, Narada Muni told Chitrakedu that your whole problem is that you lost the child. That's what is worrying you so much. I will invite him to come here. But he will not go into the body. He will stay in the atmosphere. He will stand there in the atmosphere. You can speak to him. And you can ask him why he left the body and went away. That is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find the Sri Jiva Uvacha. That is called as Jiva. Only the living entity is called, as the spirit soul is addressing him. Not in the body. The dead body is lying there. So Narada Muni, due to his power of yoga system, he invited the Jiva to come, that particular spirit soul who left that baby's body. He invited him to come back and stay in the atmosphere there. So when the Jiva arrived in the atmosphere, Sri Narada Muni asked the Jiva one question: "Why did you leave your parents like this and go away from here, giving them so much distress?" The first thing what everybody heard was a laughter from Jiva. Jiva started laughing, and you could hear the sound. Chitrakedu started looking at Narada Muni and Angiras, why everyone is laughing? Because the answer was such that Chitrakedu had no option except to start thinking about the whole thing. That Jiva laughed and said to him, "My dear Sri Narada Muni, I was on running to my next body. It was already available for me. You have pulled me back from there and made me to stand here now. My food is finished here. I am going to the next one, which is waiting for me already. And you are pulling me back." And he said, "And you are asking me why I have upset Chitrakedu and Kritajudhi. As far as I am concerned, I have seen so many Chitrakedus and Kritajudhis all along. I am going to the next one. How many parents have suffered because of this Chitrakedu and Kritajudhi? Because when they also have left their bodies at some time or the other, how many people they have given to distress to?" Like this, Jiva started speaking. So as far as Chitrakedu is concerned, Chitrakedu started realizing that this relationship between the child and the father is just like, there is a verse in the Bhagavatam. The verse says, that it is exactly that relationship is discussed in that verse. It says there that यथा वस्तूनि पण्यानि हेमादीनि ततस्तदाह पर्यडन्तिनरेषु एवं जीवो योनिषु कर्तृषु. देन् जस्ट् लैक् एन् एक्साम्पल् इस् गिवन् करेन्सि नोट्. बेङ्क् आफ् इङ्ग्लेण्ड् हेस् रिलीस्ड् करेन्सि नोट्. बेङ्क् आफ् इङ्ग्लेण्ड् हेस् रिलीस्ड् करेन्सि नोट्. वेन् द करेन्सि नोट् इस् इन् युर् हेण्ड् दट्स् युवर्स्. वेन् इट् कम्स् टु मै हेण्ड् इट्स् मैन्. And similarly, one day somebody went and asked the Bank of England, where is the currency note? Bank of England said, we have released that note long ago. We don't know where it is. Somebody has it. That's all we know. This is that relationship. That's what that verse says. Jiva yoni shukartrashu. That jiva enters the yoni or enters into the womb of a mother because karma has brought that baby, brought that living entity particular position. When that karma is finished there, he has to go away from there, go into another place, to somewhere else where it has been decided that he has to stay and execute his remaining karma in some other body, in some other place, in some other form that is decided by the higher laws of nature. So Chitrakedu was given a detailed account of the movement of the soul from one body to another and how it is so foolish to lament on the death of a baby, on a silly death of a small baby who died in such a short time, and to come out of that illusion. When Chitrakedu heard all these things, Chitrakedu's mind started changing. He said to Srinaradamuni that this change, that this thing what you have spoken to me, nobody has told me about this before. Naradamuni said to Chitrakedu, this is why I came with Angiras. That, my dear king, you have been going on with your kingdom and desire for children for such a long time that you could never wake up from that illusion and to see the reality that death is waiting there for you one day. And all these children and family and all these things is not going to protect you from that. Chitrakedu started feeling a lot of renunciation and detachment in his mind. When he felt that, Chitrakedu started speaking to Srinarada Muni and to Angiras Muni in a different way. That he told, Jivo Yonishu Kartrashu, Kartratvam alone, that means due to karma, a living entity has what is known as Kartratvam, to execute those activities. That is the duty of Jiva. That is what's keeping every living entity in one body or the other. So when that is finished, he has no more business to stay there. He leaves, goes away. We in this material world, we make so many calculations that so many years you live, you can extend the life by this medicine or that medicine and this, that and the other. We are trying to adjust. But higher than all these things, there is a higher law of Krishna's law known as the laws of karma that decides that how long a living entity has to live in a particular body. And that is what ultimately decides when he has to leave the body in some condition or the other. So due to the higher laws, when we do not understand the higher laws of nature, material nature, we accept as per the society's norms, what society tells us. So anyway, our Chitrakedu has come to some senses because it was spoken by Srinarada Muni. Narada Muni's job is always like this. He always wants people to come to the senses and go back to spiritual world instead of wasting their time here in different designations. King, pauper, man, woman, everything. As far as Narada Muni is concerned, all this is simply designations. So Narada Muni told Chitrakedu that, my dear king, you should go to the forest and I'll give you an instruction of a particular mantra. Sridharacharya Swamiji says that this mantra is called as Shesha Toshani. Shesha Toshani means Adishesha Bhagavan, which is Lord Balaram. A mantra was given to Chitrakedu by Srinarada Muni. Chant this mantra for 7 days. That is enough. Seriously, the way I tell you, that will take you back to the spiritual world. He gave this instruction. Narada Muni and Angiras Muni both left the kingdom and went away. So Chitrakedu decided at that point It's no point in me wasting my time here trying to sort out things. Ultimately, for some good fortune, Narada Muni and Angiras Muni has given us something valuable to hold on to, a higher purpose of life. Let me execute that. With that consciousness, he went to the Kalindi River, bathed in the Kalindi River, and he performed this sacrifice, performed this chanting of this mantra 7 consecutive days. That is how it says in the Bhagavad. 7 consecutive days, he chanted this mantra regularly, day and night, known as Sheshatoshani. So Sheshatoshani, Sri Rajaraja Swamiji says here, that Sheshatoshani was chanted by Chitragedu, and due to the mercy of Sri Narada Muni, Chitragedu arrived in the higher planets, he became so perfect in that chanting the mantra. The result was that automatically Lord Balaram had to appear in front of him in the form of Adishesha. Adishesha's form, he appeared there, and you will find in the Srimad Bhagavatam that Chitragedu glorifying Adishesha Bhagavan, Lord Balaram. It is some of the finest prayers in the Bhagavatam by Chitragedu's prayers of the, because the power to glorify Krishna also comes from Krishna. You will notice when Dhruva Maharaj story discussed, we saw there that Dhruva Maharaj didn't know what to say when he saw Krishna. How to glorify Krishna, he didn't know. Kapolam dadarshaham. There, at that point, Krishna touched his cheek with his conch shell, and automatically Vaikari, the power of expression, developed, and the result was that Dhruva Maharaj's prayers became very famous in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Similarly, here also you will notice that Chitragedu's prayers became so powerful that only due to the mercy of Adishesha or Lord Balaram that he was able to glorify Adishesha Bhagavan as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After all, he is the expansion of Krishna. So in that way, he glorified Adishesha Bhagavan, and Adishesha in turn instructed Chitragedu on the science of Bhagavata Dharma. Srimad Bhagavatam was given to Chitragedu by Adishesha, due to his special mercy to Chitragedu. Now, when he received Srimad Bhagavatam, that parampara, disciple succession of Srimad Bhagavatam, came from Adishesha Bhagavan, Lord Balaram, through Chitragedu to this world as well. So that is why we say there are two different paramparas of Srimad Bhagavatam or disciple succession of Srimad Bhagavatam in this world. One parampara comes through Sri Narada Muni, Vedavyas, Srishugan, Parikshit, like that. That is what we are reading. But in this Srimad Bhagavatam, reference is made to that Bhagavatam also, which was instructed to Chitragedu. Chitragedu took that Bhagavatam and went to the higher planets. And the position he got at that point was, he was given a special position as a perfected personality, or went to the Siddhaloka. Siddhaloka means that is where Vidyadharas live. Vidyadharas, they are living entities higher than the human species. We normally have this understanding that it is us only exist. We are the highest in that grade. We, everything known to us, perfect living beings, perfect creation. But that is not true. From the very point of view, there are living entities far, far superior to us, far, far higher in their knowledge, in their memory, in their bodily beauty, bodily features, everything. They are far superior to us. They exist. And not only that, they exist. They also have much more freedom than us to travel to different places in the universe and even beyond the universe. They have that freedom given to them. That is because of their special position. They reach there due to their higher activities, pious activities or spiritual activities. But human beings, as human beings, we are restricted. We are restricted to certain conditions. That's why no matter how hard we try mechanically, why Bhagavatam is condemning all our efforts to go to other planets because of this. Bhagavatam is laughing at us and telling us, don't waste your time. You are just going to not get there. You will keep on breaking your spacecraft and falling and getting burned yourself at the end. But we, because of our higher intelligence, we won't accept that. We find it very hard to believe that. Oh, is there somebody better than us? That cannot be. That's our argument. That cannot exist, because our stupid mind is always telling us that we are the perfect creation, perfect living being. But for them, for Vidyadharas and Gandharvas and Siddhas and Charanas and Kinnar, so many different species in Krishna's creation. In the Vedas, all these things are discussed in detail, who lives in which planet and what their capacities are. These are personalities who have by birth itself, they have the knowledge of the higher management of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so many other things are known to them. And by nature also, they are so different than us in many ways. Their bodies are different. Their thought process is different. Their intelligence is different. Their realizations are different. Everything is different. But still, we will not come to any understanding that somebody could be better than us. How could that be? That's the question we will ask. So anyway, the important thing to remember is, that Shikrakedu went and became a Siddha. Siddha or Vidyadhara he became. In that Vidyadhara's body, when he got there, now you will see the fun, what happens at that time. Narada Muni gave him seven days to get there. Gave him the mantra Sheshadoshani, chant this and you will get there, he said. So whatever Narada Muni has spoken has happened. Chitrakedu got there, no doubt about it. But when he arrived there as a Vidyadhara, so many other Vidyadharas who were present there, who were already there for a long time, they saw this new entry coming into their abode. And when this new entry came in, you can say apprentice, isn't it? Normally, they will observe you. They will keep an eye on you. What's your way of doing things? And how far you are close to their way of thinking or their way of life. And this is natural with our Chitrakedu also, the same thing happened. Chitrakedu got there. Chitrakedu, when he got there, other Vidyadharas were observing him, seeing him. What's his condition? What's he? He's new one to us. He's newly joined us. Let's see. They were all keeping watch of him, keeping an eye on him. And he found out that there are some tendencies in him still, which is not normally for the Vidyadharas. Their tendencies were still in him. Because everything was done in a rush here, 7 days back to the spiritual world. So got there and gone to the living higher planets. When he got there, but the vasanas have not gone, the vasanas have come with him there also. So the Vidyadharas realized this, that this person is not fully ready for the life here. But they didn't send him back here from there, because after all Sri Narada Muni had sent him there. So they told him, you stay here with us, and in course of time, because it takes time for the old propensities to die away from us. Sometimes we also, devotees also got this problem sometimes. We want to get back to the spiritual world, but we don't want to give up our mentality here. We want to take this mentality with us and get there. But the problem, what will happen, you will see from Chitrakedu's life what happened. Chitrakedu got there, and Chitrakedu's tendencies have not changed. There was little bit left. Although, due to the mercy of Adishesha Bhagavan, Sri Narada Muni, and others, Chitrakedu had elevated himself. His consciousness has gone up very high. But the stack of vasanas inside, which is lying there, has got both good and the bad. The bad ones are there. When it is overpowered by the goodness will predominate. Goodness will always shine. It is like that. That sometimes you can see that somebody, due to by virtue of cultivating spiritual knowledge and by practicing a good spiritual life, they become very blissful and happy. But even though they become blissful and happy, suddenly you will find they do something nonsense and they will fall. And then you start asking the question, oh, you were such an advanced devotee, how come this happened to him? Why did this happen? That is what you have to understand. The reason is that although all these good things have been done, in his consciousness, some of the old vasanas, old propensities or tendencies which were there, lying there, they have not gone away. They are still there. Only thing is, when it got a favorable opportunity or favorable conditions, it immediately expanded. And the result was that he performed that rascal or sinful activity and he fell down from his consciousness, fell down from his spiritual consciousness. So this is what happens. So our Chitrakedu's case, what happened was, Chitrakedu was very nice person, in according to our calculations, a very nice person. He went to the Vidyadharas, they live in the higher planets, very close to the Tapolokam and Janalokam, in the higher positions in this universe itself. And one day, a group of Vidyadharas, they together said to, discussed each other, and they decided to go and see Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva, as you know, lives in Kailas, Mount Kailas, with Sri Parvati and so many other great sages. He lives there. So, when Chitrakedu heard that all the other Vidyadharas were making a trip to Kailas, they told Chitrakedu that we are all on a trip. We are visiting, going to see Lord Shiva in Kailas. And we will come back in a few days' time after visiting Lord Shiva and after receiving his mercy, we will come back. And then we will talk to you about it and all that. Chitrakedu got very upset. Chitrakedu says, if you are all going, why shouldn't I come with you? He said, he started saying like this. So at that time, all the other Vidyadharas said to, they couldn't tell him straight away, look, it may be troublesome for you if you come with us. Because they didn't want to straight away tell him that you still have certain nature in you which may cause problems. You see, when you go to see some people, great personalities like Lord Shiva,
if you do not know who is Lord Shiva, and if you do not know how to behave in front of Lord Shiva, the possibility is that you may create more trouble than good for yourself. So knowing very well all these possibilities that can happen, Vidyadhara has told Chitraketu, stay this time here, we will come back, and maybe next time when we go, because they were thinking that in course of time, this tendency what Chitraketu has brought from this earthly planet will die out and come to some higher consciousness. This is what the other Vidyadharas were thinking. So they said to Chitraketu, stay on for some time and we will see next time when we go. Why can't I come with you now? I am also like you, one like you. Where is the difference between you? He won't agree. He will not listen. So eventually, forced by Chitraketu, see, the other Vidyadharas had no option except to take him also with them. So they all went together to Mount Kailas. When they got to Kailas, Kailasam is the abode of the Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva was there, Sri Parvati was there. And the thing was, what happened was, when they arrived in Kailas, what they saw was that Lord Shiva was sitting there, fully naked, no clothes, nothing, no decorations, nothing. He was sitting there and Sri Parvati was on the lap, completely naked. And so many sages, and they were sitting under banyan tree, instructing the sages who were sitting in front of them. So many great sages they could notify, Vasishtha and so many other, Yajnavalkya Muni, and so many other great personalities in the Vedic tradition. They were all sitting in the front of the tree, and Lord Shiva was giving them instructions on the spiritual knowledge. In the spiritual side, he was instructing them. Sri Parvati was sitting on the lap. They had neither had any decorations nor clothes, nothing. But all the Siddhas, along with our Chitraketu in the Vidyadhara form, they all arrived there. As soon as they saw there, all the Siddhas paid their obeisances to Lord Shiva. And they were very respectfully standing there, waiting for instruction. But what did our Chitraketu do? Chitraketu said, saw this, they are paying obeisances to Lord Shiva. He says, is this Lord Shiva? He says, this is Lord Shiva. And that's Sri Parvati. What is this going on? This is something disgusting, he said. All these things came out. Why? He was thinking, Lord Shiva and Sri Parvati is like us in this world. Because normally here, in this planet, if somebody is having relationship with man and woman, if you do it publicly like this, without clothes on, and you are talking to each other, and women in relation, it's considered to be wrong. It's not considered to be proper behavior. That is the norms of this world. Chitraketu had this very strongly fixed up in his mind. He thought this will be the rule everywhere. And so he went there and he started applying this rule to Shiva and Parvati. Actually, what Chitraketu did not know was Lord Shiva and Sri Parvati, these forms, they manifest as and when they want. In whichever they form, they could do it. And nor Sri Parvati or Lord Shiva has in the bodily concept of like we are here. They are not affected by this presence of this material body like us. We are conscious of this material body. We have to cover it up. We are conscious of the problems that will happen to us if we do not act properly in this world. Therefore, we have to cover our body with the clothes on. So many restrictions on us. Why? Because we are strongly in the bodily concept of life. Lord Shiva and Sri Parvati is not bound by the laws of this material world. They are not bound by the bodily concept of life, first of all. They are forces, they are living forces. They can accept any bodies they want at any time. And they are not affected by that presence of this particular form of body. Not knowing any of these things, Chitraketu started blasting them. And one Lord said, this is Lord Shiva. This is where you have brought me to see. What is this? He started asking like this. So at that point, Siddhas were all started looking at him. Sri Parvati heard this, sitting in the lap of Lord Shiva. And she started looking at him, who is this demon who has come in here? That is what Sri Parvati started talking about. Sri Parvati said this, go back and become an asura, he said. She said to him, that is what you are qualified to be. Go and become a demon now. That is what he said. And when Sri Parvati said this, Chitraketu accepted that. Chitraketu without saying anything. And for some time, Sri Parvati felt that maybe I have gone a little too far. That after all, he has come here. Maybe that he has something in him that has prompted him to speak like that. and there is some prayers by Sri Parvati there, glorifying Lord Shiva. Exactly like when Daksha offended Lord Shiva, what happened? Sati Devi glorified Lord Shiva at that point. Exactly the same way. Here also you see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Parvati glorifying Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva didn't take it very seriously because he knew who was Chitrakedu and why this has happened and all these things, all stories known to Chitrakedu also, Lord Shiva also. Shiva didn't say anything, but he told Sri Parvati that when Sri Parvati asked Chitrakedu that ask for that I have asked you to go and take the body of a demonic body I have asked you to take. Mamo dal kshamyadam sadi, that is a word in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that where Chitrakedu says to Sri Parvati that, my dear mother, addressing Sri Parvati, he said that when I spoke about you or about Lord Shiva, I had not spoken that with any criticism. That was not in my mind. But if whatever I have spoken, if you felt that I have spoken in an offensive manner, please forgive me. That is how Chitrakedu put that to Sri Parvati. Sri Parvati, seeing that condition, felt compassion, being a mother, felt compassion to Chitrakedu and told Chitrakedu, now you ask me, what do you want me to tell you? What do you want me to do for you? I have already spoken that you have to become an asura. There is nothing I can do about it. That's already come out from my mouth. But what benediction do you want to come out from me to come out of this situation? Chitrakedu said, I will not ask you for any benediction. I will accept that this is my prarabdham. There was something in me holding that I had to go through. And that has now happened through your sweet words. And this is how Chitrakedu answered that question. And when Sri Parvati told Chitrakedu these things, the same time Toshta was saying, Indra Shatru Vivardhaswa, the sacrifice was going on there. And our Chitrakedu had to leave that body, take the form of Vritrasura and fall into the fire of Toshta's sacrifice. And that is how Vritrasura's body, he got it. He was given the body of Vritrasura at the same time. As soon as Sri Parvati told Chitrakedu that you take this body of a demon and you live in that body of a demon for some time and to fulfill that benediction, what was given by Sri Parvati, Toshta's sacrifice, Vritrasura appeared at the same time. The spirit soul of Chitrakedu fell into the fire and came out from the fire as Vritrasura. So this is the story of Vritrasura. What do we learn now from this? The point is this, that Chitrakedu went to the higher planets, very higher level of the planetary systems he has gone to the Vidyadharas Logas, the Logas he has gone to. But unfortunately, Chitrakedu's vasanas have not died out. So in other words, that although he qualified himself to go to the higher planetary systems by virtue of placing Srinarayana and Angiras Muni, because the vasanas have not disappeared from his consciousness, and as soon as he saw Lord Shiva and Sri Parvati in that condition, automatically that vasanas got an opportunity to expand. In other words, his instincts inside, which was lying there as Durvasana, as I said before, there are two types of vasanas. The propensity, Vasana Balal Juhava Narayana Namakam Sudam. Srimad Bhagavatam is saying this about vasanas all the time, or the propensities all the time. Ajamila spoke Narayana, called Narayana the word. Why he thought of giving the name to his son? Because of vasana. Vasana Balal Juhava Narayana Namagam Sudam. That he called his son as Narayana because he had that vasana inside. Exactly like that. In Chitrakedu's case also, he had that vasana inside. The result was that he came out when he saw Sri Parvati and Lord Shiva in that condition. And the result was that he had to come back in the form of Vritrasura here. So no matter what it means, trying to tell us is that before we go into the spiritual world, if you have not purified your consciousness and the durvasanas have not completely gone away, the possibility is that you may have done so much devotional service and you would have got there somehow or the other. Possibility is that somewhere you will make a mistake and you will fall back again. There is no guarantee that you will stay there. Why? This is the story of Chitrakedu is telling us. That even given time, by practicing and executing spiritual life, one day or the other, due to the purity we develop in our Krishna consciousness, in course of time, these vasanas will die one after the other. That is what mode of goodness is bringing to us. Mode of goodness executing Krishna consciousness will strengthen our consciousness such, and these evil tendencies or durvasanas which is inside will go away. When it is totally cleared up, at that point, only when one goes to the spiritual world, he'll be able to stay there. Otherwise, at some place, you will make that mistake what Chitraketu has done. Because if we have the same vasana as what we have today in us, maybe we have done so much for Krishna. We feel that I have done so much for Krishna. Also decided I'll recognize you, send you back to one of the higher planets. I'll go there and live some time before you. But because our consciousness has not changed and the same vasanas are there very strongly still, when we get there, due to the same problem, these vasanas, if it given an opportunity, it will come out and pull us back to the material, to the earthly planet again. So this is the lesson, one of the important lessons from the story of Chitraketu, what you have to remember, that Krishna consciousness, it purifies a person. By executing the principles of Krishna consciousness, it eventually elevates the consciousness of a living entity to the higher planets. It goes up all the time. Urdhvam gacchanti sattvastha. That Satogunam is creating that in him. But there is no guarantee that unless and until it is completely pure, you will not be able to sustain yourself in the spiritual world. That is the story of Chitraketu is telling us. That is one of the lessons from this story. What is the second lesson? The second lesson is that Chitraketu was a king. Chitraketu got there in 7 days' time into the higher planets. No doubt, that was the mercy of Sri Narada Muni, Angiras Muni, and so many other great sages. They have given him that mercy, seeing his present condition. But after getting there, he committed this offense. And the result was that Sri Parvati, Lord Shiva's consort, decided that he should take the body of a asura again. And the form of a demoniac body, he should get it. When Sri Parvati said that, he had to take the body of Ritrasura and come here again. Srimad Bhagavatam is saying, even if Sri Parvati wants it, he cannot make a devotee of Krishna to take the birth of another birth from the womb of another mother. This is the second thing what you have to learn from there. Chitraketu, although he had to accept Ritrasura's body, he was never forced to go into the womb of another mother and take birth from there. This is the greatness of Krishna's devotee. Krishna's mercy is such that even due to some circumstances, if one has to go into another body, even if a demoniac body, he had to accept. Krishna has shown that mercy to that devotee in two ways. One, he didn't have to go through the process of birth again. Like normally birth is considered to be one of the most difficult, although because we don't remember anything and because we don't know anything. So we accept that this is all right. What does it? We don't know anything, so what does it matter? That's our attitude. But that's not Vedic conclusion. Vedic conclusion is that if you are accepting another body, jadasya hidruvo mrityur dhruvam janma mradasya ya tasmad avariharyate natvam shojitum arhasi. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that jadasya hidruvo mrityur, birth and death are two definite factors for a living entity. One cannot escape from that. And that is avariharyate, that it cannot be taken out. These are the facts of life. And this birth is considered as bad as death. In fact, in worse than death. Death, sometimes you escape quickly. But in birth, that 10 months in the womb of the mother, as in the third canto of the Bhagavatam says, that how disturbing for the living entity, the life it has to go through in the womb of a mother. That, Vritrasura Chitraketu has escaped from that. Why? Krishna Archana Prabhavo No Jahadim. If you serve Krishna in this life, that is the glory what you get. Even if durvasanas, even if such bad propensities exist in our consciousness, still Krishna will make sure that a devotee don't have to take birth from another womb of another mother, in another species or another womb. That is a special mercy given to the devotee. Secondly, exactly what happened to Vritrasura, that suddenly after accepting the body of Vritrasura and staying in that body for some time, Krishna decided that was enough now, that he can come back. That is why immediate shift of consciousness from the demoniac consciousness back to the devotee's consciousness again. Immediately, what did happen in the last chapter we read? Aham Hare Tava Vada Igamulam Dasanu Daso Pavidasmi Bhuyaha Manasmarir Pamsubadir Gunamste Grinidava Karmagaro Dugayaha. That can you imagine a demon who is like Vritrasura, killed many of the demigods there. And at that time, Indra was trying to kill him. And Vritrasura is lamenting, when can I get out of this body? And that is how much attachment Vritrasura had for Krishna's lotus feet. na nagapristham na javarameshtyam na sarvabhaumam narasadhivatyam na yoga siddhiravunar bhavam samanjasatva virahaya kankshem ajadavaksham ivamadaram khaka stanyam yatha valsadara chudhartham priyam priyeva vishidam vishanna manohara vindashatatrikshadetvam. Immediately you see there how the consciousness of Chitraketu was, consciousness of Ratrasura, then Ratrasura just wanted to go back to the spiritual world. He didn't want to suffer here anymore in that body. That memory, how, who gave that memory to Ratrasura? It was Krishna's mercy to him. That is what this particular story in the Srimad Bhagavatam is telling us, that Chitraketu's, the mercy of Krishna has shown to Chitraketu. If you go back to the spiritual world, when you are fully not completely ready for it, all these lessons are taught by the story of Chitraketu in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So in the Bhagavatam, discussing this story, Sridharacharya Swamiji also mentions that this Chitraketu's prayers in the Srimad Bhagavatam of Adishesha Bhagavan is so gloriously explained. So many things are covered in that. Very high philosophical points are mentioned there. And Chitraketu glorified Adishesha. Adishesha was pleased with Chitraketu for his glorification. And it all happened like Parikshit Maharaj had 7 days to go. And Chitraketu also had 7 days, time was sufficient for him to go to a higher, much higher position in this. Normally, why we say that he has gone to the Vidyadhara's planet is that normal circumstances, living entity, when he goes to the higher planetary systems, he doesn't come back. Normally, he goes further higher from there. So that is why, even if he has not gone to the spiritual world in the first instance, because he has already reached the position of Vidyadharas, there is no possibility of coming back from there to this world, unlike us, who are just on the verge of up and down, up and down. But that's not the situation with him. It will only further progress from there. But what the story is telling us, that even if you have reached there somehow the other, there is always this possibility that if you are not pure enough to sustain your life there, in that particular consciousness, there is a possibility of falling back again to this world. Like we saw last time, King Nahusha. Nahusha went and became Indra there. And from Indra's position, came back as a python to this world again. So there is, what does this teach us? It teaches us one thing, that when you go back to the spiritual world or to the higher planetary systems even, if there is not sufficiently qualified for that particular position there, the possibility of falling back is also very strong. Therefore we have to conclude that when we talk about devotees also, sometimes we say that somebody has gone to the spiritual world, we make a quick judgment, he's got there, he's already there, because you are such a nice devotee, you have performed so much devotional service, he should be there, I'm sure he's there. We all come to the very strong conclusion. But the fact is that if the cleaning process has not completed inside, if the vasanas are still there, there is a possibility of coming back again from there. So the warning is that it is better to go there when you are fully ready for it. Otherwise, when you get there, there is chances of coming back again. So I'll stop there, and I'll just read one chapter, and then we can discuss it further. This is the twelfth, 6:12. Krishiruvacha evam jihasaru nrapadehamajo mrityum varam vijayan manyamanam evam jihasaru nrapadehamajo mrityum varam vijayan manyamanam shunam prakrihyabhyavadal surendram yatha mahapurusham kaithavopsum tato yugandagni kathora jihvam Avidhyashulam tarasa surendraha Kshiptva mahendraya vinadhyaviro hadesi Hadosi babedirusha jagadam jagadam Kham abadat tilbanam Abadat yuddhaladil krikholkam niriksha dushpreksha vajada viklavam Vajrena vajri shadavarvanachin albujam jadasyo agaraja bhogam Chinnaigabahu, Parikena Vritra, Samramdhamasadya Grihita Vajram, Hanautadadindra Madha Bharepam Vajram Jahastha Nyavadan Makno Makhonam, Vritrasya Karmadi Mahalbudam Dal Surasurascharana Siddha Sangaha, അപൂജയം സൽപുരുഹൂതസങ്കടം നിരീക്ഷഹ ഹേതി വിജുക്രുഷർഭൃഷം ഇന്ദ്രോന വജ്രം ജഗൃഹേ വിലജിതശ്യുതം സ്വഹസ്താദരി സന്നിധൌ പുന തമാഹ വ്യത്രോ ഹരമാത്ത വജ്രോ ജഹി സ്വശത്രം ന വിഷാദകാലാം യുവത്സദാം കുത്രചിദാദദായിനാം ജയാസ്തദൈകത്ര നവൈ പരാത്മനാം വിനേകമുൽപത്തിലയ സ്ഥിതീശ്വരം സർവജ്ഞവാദ്യം പുരുഷം സനാതനം ലോകാസബാലോയസ്യമേഷു സന്ധി വിവശാവശേ ദ്വിജാമി വശിജാ ഭദ്രാ സകാലമിഹ കാരണം ഓജസഹോബലം പ്രാണമമൃതം മൃത്യുമേവ ജാ ത്വമജ്ഞായ ജനോ ഹേതുമാത്മാനം മന്യതേ ജനം യഥാ ദാരുമയീ നാരി യഥാ ഇന്ദ്രമയോ മൃഗ ഏവം ഭൂതാനി മഹവ ഈശന്തന്ത്രാണി വിദ്ധിഭോ പുരുഷ പ്രവ്യക്തം ആത്മാ ഭൂതേന്ദ്രിയാശയ ശക്നുവന്ദ്യസ്യ സർഗാദോ നവിദായ ധനുഗ്രഹാൽ അവിദ്വാനോ ആത്മാനം മന്യതേ നീഷം ഈശ്വരം ഭൂതേ സൃജതി ഭൂതാനി ഗ്രസതേതാനി ദൈ സ്വയം ആയുശ്രീകീർത്തിരൈശ്വര്യം ആശിഷ പുരുഷസ്യ ഭവന്ത്യം ഹി തൽക്കാലം യഥാനിച്ചോർ വിപര്യയാം തസ്മാദ കീർത്തി യശസോ ജയാപജയോരവി സമസ്യാൽ സുഖ ദുഃഖാഭ്യാം മൃത്യു ജീവിതയോസ്തഥാം സത്വം രജസ്തമൈതി പ്രകരേന്നാത്മനോ ഗുണ തത്ര സാക്ഷ്യമാത്മാനം യോ വേന്ന് ന സപദ്യതേ പശ്യമാം നിർജിതം ശക്രം കൃഷ്ണായുധ ഭുജം വൃഥി ഘടമാനം യഥാശക്തി തവ പ്രാണജിഹീർഷയാ പ്രാണഗ്ലഹോയം സമരമിക്ഷുഷോ വാഹനാസനാ അത്ര നജ്ഞായതേ മുഷ്യം ജയോ മുഷ്യപരാജയാ ശ്രീശുകവാചാം ഇന്ദ്രോ വൃത്രവജ ശ്രുത്വ ഗദാളിഗമപൂജയൽ ഗൃഹീതവജ്രം പ്രഹസംസ്തമാഹഗതവിസ്മയാ ഇന്ദ്രവാച അഹോദാനവസിദ്ധോസി യസ്യദേമദ്രീദൃശി ഭക്തസർവാത്മനാത്മാനം സുഹൃതം ജഗദീശ്വരം ഭവാനദാക്ഷീന്മായാം വൈ വൈഷ്ണവീം ജനമോഹിനീം യദ്യുഹായാസുരം ഭാവം മഹാപുരുഷതാം ഗദാ ഖല്യുതം മഹദാശ്ചര്യം യദയ പ്രകൃതേ സ്തവ വാസുദേവേ ഭഗവതി സത്വാത്മനി ദൃഢാമതീ യസ് ഭക്തിർഭഗവതി ഹരോ നിശ്രേയസേശ്വരേ വിക്രേതോ മൃതാംഭോധോ കിം ക്ഷുദ്രൈ ഖദഗോദകൈ ശ്രീശുകവാചാം ഇതി ബ്രുവാണാമന്യോന്യം ധർമ്മയജ്ഞാസയാ നൃപാം വിവിധാദേ മഹാവീര്യം ഇന്ദ്രപുത്രോ യുഹാമ്പതി ആ വിദ്യപരികം വ്യത്ര കർഷണായ സമരിന്ദവ ഇന്ദ്രായ പ്രഹിന്നോൽഘോനം അവഹസ്തേനമായിഷാം സതുവൃത്രസ്യ പരിഖം കരം ജകരഭൗമം ചിച്ഛേദയുഗബദ്ധേയോ വജ്രേണ ശതപർവണാം ദോർഭ്യാകൃതമുക്തമൂലാഭ്യാം ഭവൗ രക്തസ്രവോസുരാം ഛിന്നഭക്ഷോ യഥാ ഗോത്ര ഗാദ്ഭ്രഷ്ടോ വിജനാഹതാം കൃത്വാധരാമഹനും ഭൂമൌ മഹാപ്രാണോ മഹാവീര്യോ മഹാസർപ്പം വിവദ്വം പ്രത്യഗ്രസ്തമാലക്ഷ്യ സപ്രജാപതയ സുരാഹ ഹാ കൃഷ്ണ നിർവിണ്ണം ചുക്രശു സമഹർഷയാം നികീർണോപ്യ സുരേന്ദ്രേണ നമ മാതരോദരം ഗത മഹാപുരുഷ സന്നദ്ധോ യോഗമായ ബലേന ചാം വിത്വാ വജ്രേണ നൽക്കുക്ഷിം നിഷ്ക്രമ്യ ബലിവിദ്ധ്യവോ ഉച്ചകർത്ത ശിരശത്രോ ഗിരിശൃംഗമിവാചസാം വജ്രസൂതൽക്കന്ധരം അശ്വാശുവേഗകുന്ദൻ സമന്താ പരിവർത്തമാനം നിപാതയൽ താവത ഗർഹണേന യോ ജ്യോതിഷാമയനേ വാത്രഹത്യേ തദാജഘേതുന്ദുമയോ വിനേദുർഗന്ധർവസിദ്ധോ സമഹർഷി സംഘാഹ വാർത്രഗ്നിലങ്കൈ സമവിഷ്ടവാന മന്ദൈർമുദാ ഉസുമൈരഭ്യവർഷൻ വൃത്രസ്യ ദേഹാ നിഷ്കാന്തം ആത്മജ്യോതിരിന്ദമ പശ്യതാം സർവലോകാനാം ആലോകം സമപദ്യത ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതീ മഹാപുരാണേ സംസാരമഹംസ്യാം സംഹിതായാം ഷഷ്ടസ്കന്ധേ വൃത്രവധോ നാമ ദ്വാദശോധ്യായ ശ്രീശുകവാചാം വൃത്തേഹദേത്രയാലോക വിനാശക്രയന ഭൂരിത സബാലോഹ്യപവൻ സദ്യോ വിജുരാ നൃതേന്ദ്രിയാഹ ദേവർഷിപിതൃഭൂതാനി ദൈത്യാ ദേവാനുഗാ സ്വയം പ്രതിജ്ഞസ്വദീഷ്യാനി ബ്രഹ്മേശേന്ദ്രാദയസ്തദാഹ ശ്രീരാജോവാച ഇന്ദ്രസ്യാനുപ്രദേഹേകം ശ്രോതുമിച്ഛാമി ഭോ മുനി യേനാസന് സുഖിനോ ദേവ ഹരേർദുഃഖം കുരോ ഭവൽ ശ്രീശുകവാചാം വൃത്ര വിക്രമ സംവിഘ്നാ സർവേ ദേവാസഹർഷി തദ്ധുദായാർത്ഥയം ഇന്ദ്രം നൈച്ചൽഭീതോ ബൃഹദ്വദാൽ ശ്രീ ഇന്ദ്രവാച സ്ത്രീഭൂജലധ്രുവൈരൈനോ വിശ്വരൂപോത്ഭവം വിഭക്തമനുഗൃഹ്യാം കുമാർജ്യഹം ശ്രീശുകവാച ശ്രേയസ്തുവാകർണ്യ മഹേന്ദ്രമിദമഭ്രുവൻ യാജയിഷ്യാമവിദ്രന്ദേ ഹയമേഹനമാസ്മഭൈ ഹയമേഹന പുരുഷം പരമാത്മനമീശ്വരം ഇഷ്ടുവാ നാരായണം ദേവമോക്ഷസേവി ജഗദ്ധുദാൽ ബ്രഹ്മാഭിർഹാവോ മാതൃഹാചാര്യഘാഖവാൻ ശ്വാദപുൽക്കസോ വാപി ശുദ്ധിരണ്യസകീർത്തനാൽ തമശ്വമേധീന മഹാമഖേന ശ്രദ്ധാനിതോസ്മാവിരനുഷ്ഠിതേന ഹ്രഹ്മജരാജരം ത്വം അലിപ്യസേ കിം ഖല നിഗ്രഹേണ ശ്രീശുകവാച ഏവം സംയോജിതോ വിപ്രൈർമരുത്വാ നഹനദ്രിപം ബ്രഹ്മത്യാഹരേ അസ്മിൻ ആസസാദ വിഷാകപിം തയേന്ദ്രസ്മാസഹൽതാവം നിർവൃതിനാമുപാവിശൽ ഹ്രീമന്ദം വ്യാച്യതാം പ്രാപ്തം സ്വതേന്ദ്രിനോ ഗുണ താം ദദർശാനുധാമന്യം ചണ്ഡാലിം ഇവരൂപിണീം ജരയാവീമമാനാംഗിം യക്ഷ്മഗ്രാസ്താമസൃപ്ണാം വികീയ വലിതാൻ കോശാം സ്തിഷ്ടതിഷ്ഠേതി ഭാഷിണീം മീനഗന്ധ്യസുഗന്ധീന കുർവദീം മാർഗദൂഷണം നഭോകരദുശോ സർവാസഹസ്രാക്ഷോ വിശാമ്പതേ പ്രാകുദീജിം നിശം തൂർണം പ്രവിഷ്ടോ സോതവമാനസം സ ആവസല പുഷ്കരം നാൾ തന്തൂന ലബ്ധഭോഗോ വൈദിഹ അഗ്നിദൂത വർഷാണി സഹസ്രമലക്ഷി വന്ന സചിന്തയൻ ബ്രഹ്മോദാധ്യമോക്ഷം താമത്രാകം നഹുഷശാസ വിദ്യാതയോ തവയോ തവോ യോഗമനാനുഭാവ സ സമ്പദൈശ്വര്യമധാന്ത ബുദ്ധിർ നീതസ്ഥിരശ്ചാം ഗതിമിന്ദ്രപത്യാം തതോ ഗതോ ബ്രഹ്മഹിരോബഹൂത കദംബരധ്യാന നിവാരിധാക പാപസ്തു ദിഗ്ദേവതയാ ഹതോ ജസ്തം നാഭിഭൂതവിദം വിഷ്ണുപത്യാം തം ച ബ്രഹ്മഷയോഭ്യേത്യ ഹയമേധേന ഭാരത യഥാവദ്ദിഷയാഞ്ചക്രു പുരുഷാരാരഥി പുരുഷ ആരാധനീന അതേജ്യമാനേ പുരുഷേ സർവദേവമലയാത്മനി അശ്വമേധൈ മഹേന്ദ്രേണ വിതദേ ബ്രഹ്മവാദിവി സവൈത്വ അഷ്ടമതോ ഭൂയാവി ഭാവജയോ നൃവ നീരസ്തേനൈവ ശൂന്യായ നീരഹാരമേവ ഭാനുനാം സവാചിമേന നേതോദിതേന വിദായമാനേന മരീച മിശ്രൈ ഇഷ്ടവാദി യജ്ഞം പുരുഷം പുരാണം ഇന്ദ്രോ മഹാനാ സുവിധൂതവാവാഹം ഇതം മഹാഖ്യാനമശേഷ വാത്മനാം പ്രക്ഷാളനാം തീർത്ഥവദാനുകീർത്തനം ഭക്തിക്ഷയം ഭക്തജനാനുവർണ്ണനം മഹേന്ദ്രമോക്ഷം വിജയം മരുത്വത പടൈരാഖ്യാനമിതം സദാഭുധാ ശൃണ്വന്ത്യതോ പർവണി പർവണേന്ദ്രിയം ധന്യം യശസ്യം നിഖിലാഘമോചനം രിപുഞ്ജയം സ്വസ്തേനം തഥായുഷം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതീ മഹാപുരാണേ പാരമഹംസേ സംഹിതായാം ഷഷ്ടസ്കന്ധേ ഇന്ദ്രവിജയോ നാമ ത്രയോദശോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. So that's the story of Chitrakedu and Vritrasura. So if there is any questions or comments, please.
Explain what seems to be an apparent contradiction between what it says in Bhagavad Gita about if you get to the spiritual world you never return and what is said here.
There is, first of all, there is no contradiction between Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah, the contradiction is due to our consciousness that we have not understood what our realizations are so limited in spiritual life. That we see Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita from our point of view. We start judging them. But spiritual life and spiritual realizations are real. And as much as realization comes, we will understand everything what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita is true. Everything what Krishna has spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam is also true. Now, why we have this difficulty is that we see time, space, everything, even liberation, in terms of our calculations. For example, what does liberation means? Liberation means we are thinking that going back home, back to Godhead. So probably our understanding is, many people may have this understanding, I do not know. But one thing is sure, that going back to Godhead means that I'm not living here anymore, I live in a much better place. And this concept is not Krishna, this is not actually liberation means. In body, one can be anywhere, in body conditions. One could be in this world. But there are liberated souls, even while in this material world, in this material body, they could be liberated. Because their activities are the proof that their consciousness is different. They are already in the spiritual world. But although they are in the material world, in the material body, it may appear to us like when Chitrakedu went to Kailas, and saw Lord Shiva and imposed his conceptions on Lord Shiva, he got into problems. Otherwise, if he understood who Lord Shiva was, he would not have probably thought in that way. But exactly like that, our mind is conditioned by this material world, the standard of this material world. And the result is that we also start thinking that once I go to spiritual world, everything will be alright, comfortable there. But that consciousness is coming from this understanding that somehow I want to escape from here now. I had enough of this. Let me try it out there, what it's like. So that's the way we have understood about liberation. But liberation is not like that. Liberation means actually that once consciousness has gone beyond the bodily level of this material world, the bodily concept of life, he has released himself from that. He has reached the spiritual consciousness in perfection. That when you are perfectly reached the spiritual world, in that perfect spiritual consciousness, then there is no possibility of coming back here again from that consciousness. And then where you will be in that condition, that depends. That is an agreement between the devotee and Krishna. What Krishna wants the devotee to do, devotee is wanted to serve Krishna. In whatever condition Krishna wants him to serve him, he will accept that body in whichever state, on whichever. It is not that I'll get to Goloka Vrindavan and then Krishna cannot even get me out from there. That is not the agreement between Krishna and us. The agreement is, when we get to, even if we do get to Goloka Vrindavan, one day hopefully all of us will get there. And if we get there to Goloka Vrindavan or to Vaikuntha, the consciousness has to be good enough to be to be qualified to stay there. If the consciousness is not good enough, if we have the same mentality what we had here, probably we will cause more problem for Krishna than anybody else or by our presence being there. That is what this is saying, that be qualified first to get there. And when you are qualified enough, and that purity, level of purity what is required is achieved in this consciousness, in this material world, automatically, without any question, Krishna automatically transfers the living entity to the spiritual world. And that spiritual world, where it will be and in what condition it will be, that is between Krishna and the devotee. So basically what it means is that we shouldn't think that when we go there we don't come back, because we are always doubtful about some of the things. If after I spending all my life performing my brahmachari life or sannyasi life or whatever it is, giving up all the happiness in this world, and if I go there and if I then suddenly I'm sent back here again, is it worthwhile? That thought also will come to our mind. That is how we assess these things. That is our consciousness is like that. But the thing is that according to Vedic understanding, every living entity is allowed to live in a certain place according to his qualification. Once he achieves the qualification, he can go to the spiritual world. He can live there also peacefully. There is nothing will stop him from doing that. But without being qualified, if you get there, like in the case of Chitragedu, in 7 days, he wanted a shortcut to get there. And Narada Muni offered that also through Sheshadoshani Mantra. Narada Muni has done this a few times to a few different people, because sometimes a spiritual master like Narada Muni has to deal with different kinds of devotees. Different kinds of devotees, they come to him and request for help, and Narada Muni has done this. But the point what Bhagavatam is saying is that even if you get there, sometimes it can happen that due to your vasanas inside, if they are not gone away, you are not purified yourself completely, that you may commit offense there and come back here again. That's all it means, and that is a real possibility, and which makes sense also, because if it was otherwise, say for example, a lot of us went there, for example, by Krishna's grace. Krishna said, oh, you all performed such wonderful devotional service. Come back now. We send you the plane straight away. Plane landed here in the front. All of us got in and we went there. We will create the same politics there also. There won't be any difference. So in other words, the same Vaikuntha will become the material world then. Then Krishna has to leave the Vaikuntha and go away from there then. That's the situation we will create. So Krishna is very much aware of our shortcomings and our limitations. So he says, when you are qualified, come. Otherwise, stay here where you are. Make yourself properly qualified and then come and stay with us. That's Krishna's words. Make sense? Yeah. You know, when Adishesha Bhagavan gave this special position of Vidyadhara to Chitragedu, Chitragedu was told by Adishesha Bhagavan, wander around the whole universe singing the glories of Krishna. And to sing the songs of glorifying Krishna, he was also given a group of women who could sing along with him and travel together. So many facilities were offered to him. And when this position was given, Vidyadhara's position, it's a very high position in this universe itself. And in due course, he was going to go back to the spiritual world. There was no doubt about it. He was not going to come back here. He was going to go up. But unfortunately, what happened was this unfortunate vasana inside him has got an opportunity to expand, and the whole thing came back. But even from Vritrasura's body, when he left Vritrasura's body, he got the opportunity to go back again into the same position where he came from. It was only a short time he had to live in that Vritrasura's body. But the lesson is very interesting to us, to everybody, that in spiritual life also, the success of spiritual life and going back to the spiritual world depends on Krishna, of course. Krishna's mercy that makes us to go to higher position, like Adishesha Bhagavan gave this special mercy to Chitragedu. But at the same time, although the mercy is there from Krishna, mercy is there from Adishesha, and mercy is there from Srinarada Muni, if the person's consciousness is still having the old political nature in him, or the politics what he has played here, if those tendencies have not gone, it is a possibility that it can create problems when you get there. Because you have to remember, As much as you go to the higher planetary systems, Siddhas, Charanas, Kinnaras, Gandharvas, and if you further go up to the Tapalokam, Janalokam, and Maharlokam, and all these places, they are so high in this universe, and the inhabitants of those planets also, they have a much higher consciousness than us. They know a lot more than what we know about this creation. They know their destination better. They have access to Lord Brahma. They are invited by Lord Brahma in certain instances. They are able to associate with Lord Brahma very closely. And in the Bhagavatam also it says there, at one of the devastations when it happens, when the fire vomits from the Adishesha Bhagavan's face, from the bottom of the universe it comes out, when the devastation happens, the heat that comes from Adishesha's face, Adishesha is holding the universe. As you know, in the Bhagavatam that is how it's mentioned. We say it is gravity. We say this, so many knot theories we have got. We know everything. What is that? We don't know. We know everything. So this is the problem with us. Bhumandalam sarshabayadese modri murdrasi. That is how it is mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Bhumandalam, the whole creation is sustained by Adishesha Bhagavan. In the Bhagavatam, it very good. Bhumandalam sarshabayadese modri. Just like a mustard seed, he is holding this universe from the bottom of the universe. That is how he is holding this. So when that fire comes out from there, most of the earthly planet is destroyed at that time. And even from the Tapalokam, the place where it's called, where tapas is performed or penances is performed by the sages, they know the heat is coming from here and they go and take shelter of the Brahmaloka at that time. They're asked to go there. So in other words, their lifespan is so long compared to us. What are we compared to them? As far as Gandharvas is concerned, Gandharvas talks about this in the fifth canto in one instance. He says they are just like worms for them. They talk about us just like worms. What are we? We are just worms for them. That's how much they look down upon us. So the racism is there also. It's not only in this world. Don't think that racism is finished here. Everywhere else is equal. Nowhere it's equal. Unfortunately, that's the way Krishna has created us. So the same way, what you have to remember is that these inhabitants of this higher planetary system has higher knowledge, longer lifespan, much happier conditions of life and much higher understanding of life than what we have here. So Chitraketu, although it was a slight fall down for him in the form of Ritrasura, Krishna's mercy to the devotee has showed up there that he would not take birth from another mother's womb. One, secondly, he had to stay only a short time in Ritrasura's body, again back to the higher planets. He went back and later on back to the spiritual world. So that's all what Bhagavatam is telling us from these stories, to understand that things can happen like this.
Krishna gave Indra the bone of Aditi, right?
Dadiji
to kill.
Krishna didn't give, actually Indra came and asked Dadiji. Dadiji was performing his penances and Dadiji first laughed when Indra said that, seeing his selfishness behind it. Everybody likes their own material body. Everyone wants to protect that. And here also, Dadiji says, you want to protect your body, but you want to use my body for that purpose. So seeing that selfishness only, that Dadiji laughed. And Dadiji gave the backbone to Indra. Yes.
But Krishna sanctioned that.
Krishna said, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So in one sense, Krishna sanctioned the killing of Ritrasura, because he sanctioned the one of the
Yes. Yes.
But then why did Indra have to suffer the reaction?
Why Indra has to suffer the reaction? Because the law of action and reaction, Krishna doesn't change. Whether Krishna approved or not, you have to suffer for your consequences. Actions, whatever you perform. Indra went up to Krishna. Krishna advised Indra, come back to Vaikuntha. Why you hang over here, hanging on here? That was the first instruction Krishna gave to Indra. But Indra said to Krishna, I am happy here. Just if you can kill Vritrasura and give it to me, that's enough for the moment. That was like us, not much different, isn't it? So the same thing what happened, that Indra was just telling Krishna, but I know what's better for me, not you. In other words, that's what it means, isn't it? That you ask me to come back to Vaikuntha, because Indra is a devotee. In that sense, and Krishna had every right to tell him that, Indra, why are you wandering around here, trying to fight with these demons, this, that, and the other? Why don't you come back? That's all in the Bhagavatam. He says to him like that. But Indra is saying, no, I will stay here, because he could not think about leaving that the position in the heavenly planet as Indra, worshipped by all the great sages there. and all the Apsaras women serving him. It was a real opulence, what you could imagine in your mind, highest opulence he had. So he didn't want to lose all that. So he decided to put it his way through to Krishna. Then Krishna told him, okay, if it is like that, I'll still help you, although you don't want to listen to me. That is Krishna's mercy to Indra. In the seventh canto, when we begin, all this is discussed in detail. Why Krishna spoke like that? Krishna said to Indra, that's fine, that if that's what you want, I'll give it to you. Go to the DG and ask him for the backbone. And Krishna also, arrangement was that the DG could go back to the spiritual world. The DG had enough by then in this world. So the DG handed over the backbone to Indra, and Indra took that advantage and went back to the and killed Vritrasva later.
Because the thing is, Vritrasura was a devotee, so that's why I asked that question.
Vritrasura was a devotee, but at the same time, you have to remember, Vritrasura had to experience that karma of offending Lord Shiva there, that he couldn't escape. Therefore, it was a number of things. His prarabdham was there, that he had to suffer through that. And he says that you will notice there is a verse which he says to, which when he spoke there, he says to if you read those words, what was spoken by Chitraketu to what Chitraketu has spoken to Sri Parvati at that time, there is a particular word what Chitraketu says there. Asaprasadaye natvam shabamokshaya bhamini enmanyase asadhuktam mamadalchamyadam sadi. That it says there, when Sri Parvati cursed him, Chitraketu is answering to him, Asaprasadaye natvam shabamokshaya bhamini. I will please you by glorifying you. I thought I was glorifying you. I didn't realize that I have spoken something with the intention of offending you. Chitraketu says to Sri Parvati, Yen manyase asadhuktam. If I have spoken something which you felt that is offensive, mamadal kshamyadam sadi, please forgive me for that, what I have spoken. Because I have not spoken anything with the intention of offending you. But if you felt that I have spoken something, mamadal kshamyadam sadi, please forgive me for what I have spoken. That is how Chitraketu spoke. From this you can see that Chitraketu is a devotee. And the devotee in all circumstances will act like a devotee. That's a devotee's good quality. When one insults him, when offends him, glorifies him, he is not disturbed by either any of these things. That's what we find in that Chitraketu's character. That he was cursed. He could have asked Sri Parvati that what shall I do now to get out of this? He could have asked. Chitraketu didn't ask. And Lord Shiva glorifies Chitraketu at that point. Tell Sri Parvati, this is the greatness of Krishna's devotees. Krishna's devotees are such, under all circumstances, they are not disturbed because they know wherever they go, Krishna will protect them. So these are the things what comes out from that incident. You can think about it, you will understand a lot of things more. Bhagavatam will give you much better revelations why this is all happening like this. That in devotee's life, so many things can happen. When you leave this world, everything is finished. All your association with devotees is over. Ishkan is finished, your prasadam is over, everything is finished. You are back somewhere where you do not know what your condition will be. That's all our situation is like that. Today we think everything is going happily, we are preaching, we are doing this, we are doing that, so many things. But at the same time, when one day, when time will change, we are separated from all our association with this world, whatever form it is. And we are associated, only association what we have left behind is Krishna, nothing else. It is that relationship with Krishna that is what taking us further from there to other positions. So therefore, it becomes so important that that relationship should be strengthened more than anything else. Everything else will die out in its own course. That is the way the material, laws of material nature works. Yes.
I can't quite grasp that because it seems to me that he went to the higher material planets. And then the Gita Krishna says that everywhere in the material planets, the highest planets,
yes.
The Siddha Lokas, the Brahman, all places in the
street, yes.
The Yes. You go to the spiritual world and you went to, and from there you return. I can't.
Yes. Yes, I'll explain that. What Krishna says is right, that everything abrahma bhuna loga, from the higher planets, lower planetary system, this material world is a place of misery and temporary. That's what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. That is true. It is temporary. But temporary is a relative thing. Today, what we consider temporary here is very temporary for the people who are in the higher planets, because in the higher planets, the lifelong span is much longer. Now, when the living entity leaves the body here, excuse me, let me complete this. When the living entity leaves the body here, the journey it takes while going back to the spiritual world are two parts. If you read the second canto, you will find there. What is it mentioned? It's called Kramamukti and Sadyomukti. Sadyomukti and Kramamukti. There are two processes when the spirit soul leaves the body here on its way back to the spiritual world. Sadyomukti means instantaneously transfer to the spiritual world without any more visiting any other planets, any other world in this universe, goes back straight to the spiritual world. Kramamukti means, it is in translating, it is gradual liberation. In other words, you get an opportunity to go through different planetary systems and enjoy the life there for a certain period of time, and eventually they reach Brahmaloka, and when Brahma wants them to go back from there, they go back to the spiritual world later on. So in Chitragedu's case, this is what has happened. Chitragedu did not go back straight to the spiritual world. He went to the higher planets, from there to Brahmaloka, and went back to the spiritual world from there. So these two processes of liberation exist. In the second canto, while explaining that, Sukadeva Goswami talks to Parikshit Maharaj about it. So that is why we find that this has happened to him. Now, you have to remember from the Vedic point of view, when a spirit soul leaves this body, in everyone's case, there is a science behind it, how it goes back into the spiritual world. It's not that instantaneously it goes back to the spiritual world. It has a certain amount of time it goes through different planets before it gets back into the spiritual world. Especially those who are not going back to the spiritual world, they have to go through a rotational process. That is why it says in the Bhagavatam and Chaitanya also it's mentioned, how the living entity is transmigrating from one planet to another. This all transmigration happens because of this rule of karma. The karma, law of karma is such that when you leave this world, the spirit soul immediately is transferred to another planet known as Prayalokam, where it lives for some time, where a decision is made, where it has to go further from there. And this is the time, just like we were talking about the time of somebody's death, a certain period of time, people observe certain regulations and perform certain shraddha karma and everything. What does it mean actually? It means that the spirit soul who have left this body here, he has gone to another planet, and in that planet it is not decided, a decision is not taken what his next destination will be. And for a certain period of time, without a gross body, it has to stay on in that particular conditions. And that exists within this universe. If it is a devotee who has executed spiritual life very successfully and has purified himself, he may not stay there very long. He quickly, immediately gets transferred to the higher planetary systems. He goes higher. That is what Krishna says in the Urdhvam Gacchanti Sattvastha. But the other possibility is that, suppose there are many people who are in the middle position. They've performed a lot of pious activities. They will perform a lot of sinful activities also. Majority of the people will be in that situation. For those, this decision is taken which way they should be directed to. That is when the decision is taken whether they go to Pitaloka or they go to the Yamaloka. Most of the cases, they are transferred to Pitaloka, into the planet of the forefathers, where due to the, up to that time, the living entity here, their children or whoever is performing the Shraddha ceremony, has got the opportunity to perform pious activities for their benefits. Once a living soul gets to Pitaloka, there is no more opportunity for him to make any change in decision. There the decision is made. If he has done hellish activities, he has to go to Yamadharma, Yamaraja's planet, where decision is made what kind of punishment he has to experience from then on. If not, by forefather's arrangement in the Pitaloka, Pitaloka is in between the earthly planets and the hellish planets at the bottom. In the third canto it is explained where they are situated. So in the Pitaloka that decision is made, in which form, in which womb he should come and take birth again in this earthly planet. and that is why we come back to this planet again. So the movement of the soul after it leaves this body is a very tricky thing, and it goes through so many places before it comes back here, or it goes up or it goes down. That decision is made separately. But only when one has come to the perfection in spiritual life, he goes back straight back to the spiritual world.
My follow-up question from that was that he was saying that we could go back to the spiritual world, but if the propensity was after the heart, we could fall down from the spiritual world.
Yes.
I got the impression prior to this.
Say that again.
I was previously under the impression that by the time that the propensities may be there in our heart, as long as we're in the higher planetary system, but by the time we go back home to Godhead, the propensities are eliminated from our heart.
Yes.
If by Krishna's arrangement, even if very fast, like for example, Kutana, she was a demon, but by Krishna's arrangement, just like that, she went back to Godhead.
Yes.
So then from that position, even though it happens very fast, we will not come back down again once we actually go back to the spiritual world.
Yes.
But you were saying that if we go very fast, the propensity may bring us back to the spiritual world.
Yes. Yes, I will explain that, what it is. When Krishna came here in this world, appeared 5,000 years ago, in that pastime, Putana is a character who had specifically not come here, actually accepted that body in the pastimes of Krishna. She had to take that body. Now, when Putana was killed, that story is telling us that when Krishna wants to show his magnanimity to somebody, Krishna will do that, if Krishna wants to do that. Krishna is above all these rules. None of these rules affects Krishna. Krishna can change any rule anytime. There is no question about that. But what I was talking about was, in the normal circumstances, when someone is executing spiritual life and one is progressing in the spiritual path, there is a possibility that these things can happen. This is what it is saying. That unless you are pure, if you get there, spiritual world, there is a possibility it can disturb you and come back again. But when Krishna wants something to happen, Krishna, throughout Krishna's appearance, why Krishna's appearance is considered so special in this world, it is for this reason only. That when Krishna came, on the sixth day he offered liberation to Putana, you can come back, he said. On the last day, while leaving the planet, Krishna told Jara, the hunter who shot the arrow on Krishna's foot, that you also come back, he says to him. So is there, Uddhava says in the Bhagavatam, is there somebody who is more magnanimous than this? That means in special circumstances, only when Krishna decides to show some special mercy to the devotee, that none of these laws apply at that time. But that is true, that laws are there still, and laws have to be followed. But special circumstances, but in ordinary case, when a particular person is executing spiritual life, he has not reached that level of, he has not managed or he has not succeeded in getting that mercy from Krishna yet. But still he should be able to go back to the spiritual world. Nothing can stop him from doing that. But if you go back without purifying yourself, this can happen. That's what it means. So laws are there, material world also there are laws, in the spiritual world also, but the laws applies at different times and different conditions. This is why we have to hold on to Krishna's lotus feet all the time, that under all circumstances, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yathatadava vidhadadilambado matprananathastune evanabara, whether I am in the hell or heaven, I am still your servant. That attitude once developed, then one day, by Krishna's mercy, what mercy Krishna has shown to Putana, he will show it to us also. That's our hope. Yes.
You know the material world and the spiritual world.
Yes.
All right. But I mean, what's his name? When we die and we leave our body, right, and we are spirit soul, but don't we get judged by Krishna?
Do we what?
Judged by Krishna.
Yeah. Yes, Krishna doesn't judge us. What judges us is that when you have performed certain activities in this world, what actually judges is our own karma.
Yeah, but
Karmam is the cause of all these things. That your activities in this world, pious activities or sinful activities, whatever activities you have performed here, those activities will decide your next destination, where you will be going to. Because at the time of death, according to your karma, a certain type of vasanas or propensities in you will be built up. And accordingly, your mind will be developed. And accordingly, your subtle body will, at the time of death, will bring those thoughts in your mind. And on basis of that, the next body will be awarded to you. There is a precise law of nature working already. And that is what Shastras is telling us. And we cannot alter that law. You can escape, then this is called a cycle of birth and death, that continuously we have to change this body one after the other. Whole Vedic philosophy is based on these principles, law of karma and the law of changing the body. To escape from this, when one develops Krishna consciousness, automatically by Krishna's mercy, you are able to come out of this cycle of birth and death. That is when you escape from this process. Up to that point, you are under the clutches of material nature. You are under the clutches of the material world or the laws of material nature, that you can't free yourself from that. So that is where you require Krishna consciousness. You cultivate Krishna consciousness for this purpose, to escape from this cycle of birth and death.
I mean, birth and death.
Yes.
When they have to keep on changing from one body to another, because, you know, I find it very, you know, confusing.
Yeah.
Which means that, you know, the ones who are serves Krishna, they will get the spiritual world, and the ones who does like sinful activities, they go back to the material world.
Yes.
I was bringing beyond birth and death.
Yes. Yeah, you have to read all the Prabhupada's books, because beyond birth and death is, Prabhupada is saying that you can escape from this. You see, when Prabhupada is explaining that the state of Krishna consciousness, what one need to be to get to that stage, is a pretty advanced case of Krishna consciousness. You have to remember that just because I have done a few things what Prabhupada said, doesn't qualify me immediately to go back to the spiritual world. It's not that simple as that, what we feel about it. Let me put it that way. But from Prabhupada's point of view, that we have to start somewhere, this process of spiritual life. And what will happen at the time of death is unknown to us at this point in time. We don't know what will happen, what will be our state of consciousness. And Krishna has specifically spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, and Prabhupada has repeatedly pointed out this point. That you will remember if you read Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada's commentaries on that, you will see there Prabhupada mentions, Yam yam vabismaran bhavam tejatyande kalebaram tam tam evaidi kaundeya tada sadbhava bhavidaha. That according to the time, at the time of death, whatever thoughts are in your mind, Yam yam vabismaran bhavam, if you are remembering a particular form, Tejatyande Kalevaram, you give up your body at that time. Tandameva idi kaundeya, my dear Arjuna, that is what you are going to get at that time. Sada tadbhava bhavidaha, that immediately you will accept that body. Srimad Bhagavatam gives us so many incidents like that at the time of death, particularly in the story of Jataparada. That's what's very happening. That I got this body, dearest body. Why? Because thinking about dear, he gave up his body before. He went to the forest to develop spiritual life. He was a king, Bharata, King Bharata, Emperor Bharata. He stayed in the forest, executed spiritual life very, very nicely. And after executing spiritual life in the forest, at some point in time, he got attached to this deer. And he got so attached to the deer that he completely forgot for what purpose he came to the forest eventually. That's what happened to him. That he started looking after this deer so nicely. And at the time of death, what happened? Who will look after my dear? This was the thought in his mind. And the result was that he had to accept another, he got another dear's body from the very river where he gave up his body. He had to accept the body there. Bhagavatam says very clearly, why did this happen? Because if you do not change your mind, if you do not change your consciousness, at the time of death, all your friends, enemies, they will all start coming and bothering you when you have to leave this world. And they will start pulling you back to this world some for the other. So you may say that, look, I was doing this, I was doing that, but nothing will work. The laws of nature will take you. You have no control on that situation at that time. So when Prabhupada explains there, that the beyond birth and death is telling us that that is the reality, that this birth and death process is not the natural thing for the living entity. The natural process for the living entity is to live eternally in the spiritual world, in Krishna's association. But unfortunately, due to our conditioned state, we have to transmigrate from one body to another. And the process of escaping from this transmigration process is Krishna consciousness. So when Krishna consciousness is perfected, you are released from this cycle. Otherwise not. If you read all other books also, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, you will get a deeper understanding what Prabhupada is saying. One book alone is not sufficient to give you that information.
Well, I do have the computer, I'm in charge of time on the radio, and I have the process name, Silent Self-Realization as well.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. These are books which Prabhupada has presented to begin with to people who want to come to spiritual life and want to read, understand, because it's presented in a way which is much more easier.